जयम शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्रीश्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हरशील प्रभुपाद की जयम नितिनीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्रीश्रीमान భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శిలహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్య ఆనంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ 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 గురు వెన్సింగ్ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేషూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసారసాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాత్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్షకృష్ణమే మహి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యదా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తదా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదిదరదశ్చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాణి తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయా. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నర్మత్సరాణం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాన్. నిగమగల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుగాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేదవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుపేదమపేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారేర్మధురీం నా కనికాపి కాపి కాపి नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशदारिणी श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविंदाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासां हरिकथोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदं वेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमद्राधिकाये नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द So somehow due to Krishna's mercy and also Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have an opportunity to come to Srimad Bhagavatam again, what we have discussed during July. In continuation of that, from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna's childhood pastimes, what we had looked at last time, and in continuation of that, that is what we want to continue from today. In Satsangam, the topic of Satsangam means, Sangam means contact, and Sattva means soul. Contact with the soul and making us aware of our identity as spirit soul is the prime object of all Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads and other Shastras as well, Srimad Bhagavatam, everything. The only intention is to make us more conscious that our identity is spiritual and we are not this material body or mind, what we identify with generally. So, in the Bhagavatam you will see, the speaker Sukadeva Goswami himself, not only that he was situated on that transcendental platform all the way through. Therefore, he spoke from the samadhi state. In his samadhi state, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Vallabhacharya says there that the language of Bhagavatam is samadhi bhasha. He calls it a samadhi bhasha. That means in samadhi, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam in samadhi state. So, last time when we talked about from the Bhagavatam, mainly we discussed right up to the chapter 8, which is Krishna's Balalila, the childhood pastimes. That is the 8th chapter, where the you saw that Krishna and Balaram, they had the name giving ceremony. That was what we talked about at the end, the name giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram. Gargamuni came to Gargamuni came to Gokulam, and Nanda Maharaj requested Gargamuni to name the children, both Krishna and Balaram. Gargamuni initially hesitated, saying that if I get involved in this, somehow the news will reach Kamsa, and Kamsa will start getting a little bit suspicious of the two boys, Balaram and Krishna. So therefore he said that it is better that I don't perform this ceremony, rather I leave that to Shandilya Maharshi or to come and perform the ceremony. But Nanda Maharaj insisted that if it does not want to be done publicly, it can be done privately. So with that understanding, they closed all the doors, and Yashoda Devi asked all the gopis to move away from home and to stay outside. The gopis asked Yashoda Devi why it is like that. Yashoda Devi said, I can't tell you that now, but I'll tell you later. So eventually they were all kept outside, and in the Goshala, Krishna and Balaram was given the name. The names were given to them. So in the Bhagavatam, if you look in the 14th chapter, you will see there a verse about that. Who says this? Brahma, in his prayers, he says this. Brahma was praying to Krishna, and he says there about this name. Who is Narayana? He says there. Narayanastvam, verse 14th, in the 14th chapter, he says, Narayanastvam nahi sarvadehinam atmasya dishakhila lokasakshi Narayanongam narabhujalayanam tachabhi satyam natavaiva mayam. Narayanastvam nahi sarvadehinam atmasya adisham akhila lokasakshi. That is how Brahma addresses Krishna. You are Narayana. Krishna, Garga Maharshi says to Brahma says to Krishna that you are Narayana. Narayana is you. Narayana Swam. What else? Akhila Sarva Dehinam Almasyam. You are the soul of everybody. Akhila Dehinam. Sarva Dehinam Almasya. You are also the soul of everyone. What else? Adhisha Akhila Loka Sakshim. That you are the controller of everything, and also you are the witness of everything. Narayanastvam nahi sarvadeginam atmasadhisha akhila loka sakshim. Narayan angam marabhujalayanam tachabhi satyam natavaiva mayam. He says to him that, so he says that kim narayanartham marabhujalayanam, that Narayana, who is lying in the ocean, in the at the end of the at the end of the devastation, that is you. And nahi sarvat nachabi satyam nataveiva mayam, that it is only due to this power of Maya that we don't recognize your identity, says Brahma to Krishna after the pastime with Valsasthayam, which is known as Bharati, when Brahma tried to cover, steal all the cows and the calves from Krishna. And after that pastime, Brahma had a very long 70 verses glorification in the Bhagavatam, which is famous for Brahma's knowledge and devotion. It comes through that prayers. So, they... So, instead of saying that Krishna as the supreme soul, super soul of everyone, Garga Maharshi did not give any explanation in that way. Gargamuni was very concerned that if he speaks anything in that way, it may come to the notice of Kamsa, and that may cause problem for the children. So, simply gave the name as Krishna to the younger boy, and also the elder one was given the name Balaram. And started calling Krishna Krishna. So that was Garga Maharshi's good fortune. And this among the name Krishna which has been given to him, it is not a name that was formed at the time when Krishna appeared here. Actually, the name is mentioned in the Vedas also. Vedas also have the same name. So, in the Vedam, in different Suktam, Veda Suktam means the hymns in the Vedas, there is reference to the name of Krishna. Mrtiya Suktam, one of the Suktam which is used for the Brahmanas while they bathing, they take the earth and they use it for cleaning their body, cleans the body with the earth. And when they do that, they chant this mantra known as Mrtiya Suktam. In that Mrtiya Suktam, Krishna's name is mentioned. Krishna is the personality who has appeared as Varaha, Lord Varaha. So, from then onwards, that name Krishna was became confirmed, and everybody enjoyed calling Krishna, not once, twice, Krishna, Krishna, they used to call him like that. So, that is what later on you will see, Madhuradhipate Akhilam Madhuram, Vadanam Madhuram, Vadanam Madhuram, Akhiladhipate Madhuram Madhuram. That Madhuram, that sweetness of Krishna's name has started from then on. So, from then, the children started pastimes at home. Krishna and Balram, their pastimes at home. That is just the beginning. After the Namakaranam, after this name-giving ceremony, Krishna has continued their activities in the at home. So, Krishna and Balaram, in their beginning, they are saying there, that ai sabala murare pani janu pracharehi kimapi bhavana bhagan bhushayando bhavando chalida charana kunjo manju manjira shinjal shravana kuduga bhajo cheradus charu vegal. Ai sabala murare. Murari is Krishna who killed the demon Mura. Mura was a very powerful demon. You will see in the 10th canto. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada explains about Mura's strength. Therefore, he is called Murari, isn't it? Pahi Murari. Murari is the strength. Mura was a very powerful demon. Because Krishna has killed him, he was called as Murari. Aisabala Murare Panijanu Pracharehi. Then, along with Balaram, Sabala Murare, Balaram is addressed as Balaram. Aisabala Murare Panijanu Pracharehi. So both of them, first time the children, when they were crawling in the courtyard, inside the courtyard, Kibani Kimavi Bhavana Bhagan Bhushayando Bhavando. So just by their presence, they gave a lot of happiness to everybody who was present there in the house. Just these two children, Krishna and Balaram, playing in the courtyard, they were giving a lot of happiness to all the women who were present in the house. And charida charana kunjau manju manjira shinjal, when they were moving, all their anklets were making a lot of noise, and also the way they smiled, and they used to make all kinds of funny noises like the way children do when they play. Chalida charana kunjau manju manjira shinjal sharavana kuduga bhajau cheradus charu vegal. Sharavana kuduga bhajau, then everybody wanted to hear their sound, the way they made the sound while they were playing in the house. So Krishna and Balaram, in the early days when they were in the house of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they were engaged in several childhood pastimes. This childhood pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a very big subject. There are many, many great devotees who have spoken about that in a very attractive way, and many devotees enjoy listening to particularly the childhood pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. Cheradus charu vegal, and it is in that time that sometimes the age was such that the teeth were not come up yet. Some of them, one or two here and there, has started coming up. So it says, Mrudu mrudu vikasanda unnishaddanda vandau vadana padida kesho drishya padabjadesho. That when they were smiling, there was gap between the teeth. Not all the teeth has come up yet. So when smiling also, it was so beautiful to see Krishna and Balaram smiling that they haven't had all teeth, there were some of them. So Mrudumigha Sandhav and that teeth which looked like a buds of lavender flowers. When you can see, when the lavender, if you observe the lavender flowers, the, when they, before they open, they look like a white bird form, and the attractive teeth of Krishna and Balaram was so beautiful. Mrudu mrudu vihasandav unmishad dandavandav, and showing that teeth, they were smiling. And vadana padita keshav, the hair has not been cut, so all the long hair has been falling on their sides. Drishya padabja deshav, that at the back of their, when they were crawling, you could see the feet, and at the bottom of the feet, you could observe that. Padabja deshav, bhuja galita karandam vyalagal kanganangav, madiharadam amuchai pashyadam vishwanarinam. That Yashoda and Rohini has put bangles on both Krishna's and Balaram's hands. So when they were moving, they were making a lot of noise, the bangles, the anklets, and also these little things which they hung on their belt, in the waist also. So all these things were making a lot of noise, plus the Krishna and Balaram, they themselves were smiling and laughing at everyone, and their activities gave a lot of pleasure to Yashoda and Devaki, Yashoda and Rohini at that time. So, Pashyadam Vishwanrinam Madhi Uchai Aharadam Madhi Haradamam Uchai Pashyadam Vishwanrinam. That was their greatest happiness, who Devaki, Yashoda and Rohini were experiencing at that time. So, Krishna was playing with them, and Hari, initially children first, they try to turn from front to back, isn't it? They turn first, and then they start the crawling, and then they start on their knees. So, in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there, on the 22nd verse, it's talking about that, that it says there, that, Tavangri yugmam anukrishya sari srapantau, that is in the 8th chapter. Tavangri yugmam anukrishya sari srapantau, ghosha prakhosha rujiram vraja kardameshu, tannada hrishta manasa vanusrutya logam, mugdha prabhid ubaye adurandi matrau. Why these childhood pastimes are so important? That is what the next thing Sudeva Goswami is going to say here. You will see, Sudeva Goswami is talking about Krishna's childhood pastimes. And you will see here that in the 21st verse he mentioned that Kalena Vrajadalpena Gokule Ramakeshavo Janubhyam Saha Panibhyam Ringamano Vrajahrutu. Then when they were on their knees, when they were, they hold, put their hands on the ground and the knees on the ground, and then they start crawling in that way. So, Tavangri yugmamani krishya sari sribandhav ghosha prakosha rujiram prajakardameshu. In the courtyard, in Yashoda Devi's house, in the courtyard, lot of cows and calves used to come and lie there in the morning. The cows have the nature, especially in the autumn and winter time, they want to enjoy that warmth of the sun. So in the morning, the cows, they'll come and they lie in the courtyard. Along, the calves also will lie in the courtyard. After they had enough to eat, they want to enjoy the sunbathing. They wanted to have the sunbathing. So the children, they noticed this. Krishna and Balaram has noticed that. And what they did was, normally at that age is when the parents buy this different things for the children to get up, to stand and to walk, to hold on to something, isn't it? You can see several toys are available, small babies who are 1 year old, just help them to walk. But Nanda Maharaj has not given anything like that to Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna thought that since I haven't got any support to walk, he moved into the courtyard. And Yashoda Devi and Rohini got very concerned about seeing Krishna's enthusiasm to walk. But as soon as he got into the courtyard, first thing what Krishna did was he caught on to the tail of a calf. And the calf got completely perplexed by Krishna's movement, and it got up. When it got up, Krishna also got up, holding on to the calf's tail. And that is the scene, and Yashoda Devi is seeing that. That's what's mentioned. Tavangri yugmamani krishya sarisrupandav ghosha prakosha rujiram rajakardameshu tannada hrishtamanasa vanusrutya logam mugdha prabhita tava uveya durandi matrohom. So, they were, while they were playing with the calf in the courtyard, sometime they will make some strange noises. The calf will get and calf will cry for the mother, calf. Calf will cry for the cow. And when the calf makes some noise, the children will imitate that. And in this way, Krishna and Balaram gave a lot of happiness to the mother. But they were very frightened that if the calf runs, what will happen to Krishna? What will happen to Balaram? There's a lot of incidents that happened at that time between Krishna and the calves. How Krishna has played with the calves. Sometimes Krishna used to play in such a way that Yashoda Devi used to go and to get Krishna out from there, frightened about that calves might kick him or give him some problem. So, but when they used to go there, Krishna used to go underneath the calf and go to the other side and used to put Yashoda Devi in a very difficult situation. So, Tavangri Yugmamani Krishya Sari Srupandam. So, and while they were walking around in that mud, two things have happened, it seems. Do you know there is a thing called Panchagavyam? Panchagavyam means the five things from the cow which are made mixed together. Even in the deity worship, they use it. From the Goshala, you get that. The five things from the cow are used. Cow's urine, cow dung, the milk, yogurt, and dahi. and ghee. So five of them mixed together, what is called as Panchagavyam. So Sudha Goswami says that when Krishna held on to the tail and started walking, two ingredients of the Panchagavyam fell on him. He didn't say what fell. He put it in a very polished way. He says two ingredients of that Panchagavyam, if you can imagine what they are, were, so Krishna was completely covered with these two things. So Krishna, when Krishna got those two on his body completely, Yashoda Devi was very concerned how to clean him up now. But Krishna was very interested in having the Panchagavyam. So Panchagavyam is used in all the Krishna temples in the deity worship. Panchagavyam is an important part. So at that time, Tanmatarau Nijasudau Ghanaya Asnu Vandyau. Tanmatarau Nijasudau Ghanaya Asnu Vandyau. Then Yashoda Devi, seeing these activities, and Rohini also, see, whatever Krishna does, Balaram does the same thing. So when Krishna held on to the tail of a calf, Balaram also did exactly the same thing. So both of them started running around in the courtyard, holding on to the tail of these two calves. And Yashoda was getting worried, Rohini was also getting worried. Rohini was saying to Balaram to leave, because she thought that if Balaram leaves it, Krishna will leave it. But Balaram says, Krishna is doing it, why shouldn't I do that? Like the way the children are, they have justification for their own activities, isn't it? So, in that way, they were completely covered with the cow dung and the cow's urine. And they are running around in the courtyard. And at that time, Yashoda wanted to take Krishna away. Yashoda started thinking, he is running after these cows and calves because he is not getting enough milk from me. I am not given them enough milk. Is that the reason? That is all going through Yashoda's mind. And Yashoda wanted to bring back Krishna from there and take him away from the calf. That at that time, because of that affection for the love for Krishna and love for Balaram, both from Yashoda Devi's and Rohini's breast, milk started flowing in abundance. Milk started coming in abundance. And what did they say? പങ്കാംഗരാഗരുചിരൌ ഉപഗുഹ്യ ദോർഭ്യം. പങ്കാംഗരാഗരുചിരൌ ഉപഗുഹ്യ ദോർഭ്യം. പങ്കാംഗരാഗം മീൻസ് പങ്കാംഗം മീൻസ് ദിസ് മഡ്. യു കെൻ ഇമാജിൻ കൃഷ്ണൻ ബലരാം ഹൗ ദ ലുക്ഡ് നൗ. ഓൾ ദ മഡ്, കോർട്ട്യാർഡ് ഈസ് ഫുൾ ഓഫ് മഡ്, ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ദിസ് കൗഡങ് ആൻഡ് ദ യൂറിൻ, എവറിഥിങ് മിക്സ്ഡ് ഓൾ ഓവർ ദ ബോഡി, ഇറ്റ്സ് കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി കവേർഡ് ഇൻ ഓൾ ദാൻ. പങ്കാംഗരാഗരുചിരൌ ഉപഗുഹ്യ ദോർഭ്യം. So, and it was then that they went to collect them. Who? Yashoda Devi and Rohini went to collect Krishna and Balaram from there. And that is this scene what is discussed here. Sometimes they will smile very loudly, and sometimes they will be very quiet. And all the noise they were making there, and when they heard that sweet voice from them, they felt very happy. Tavangri yugmam anukrishya sarisrubandau ghosha pragosha rujiram rajagardameshu tannada hrishta manasa vanusrutya logam mugdha pravida pravida vadubaye ubaye durandi matro sandushta manasa mugdha pradida tavudubayam. So the mothers are running behind the children, and they were happy to see all these naughty activities what Krishna and Balaram were doing there. While they brought Krishna and Balaram, they somehow managed to take them away from the calves and brought them to feed them with the breast milk. So Yashoda was in a little bit concerned. Her new sari, which was quite clean, it was a nice sari, it was all completely soaked in with the Krishna's body, which was covered in the cow dung and the cow urine and the mud, everything. So she was hesitant, thinking what to do about him, but she didn't care about the sari at that time. She was more concerned about Krishna's happiness. So while they were breastfeeding them, now and then the children have a habit, they will look at the mother's face and start smiling. And when they get, you can see, if you observe, when the babies are fed, mothers feed the milk to the babies, and the babies have this nature, when they get satisfaction from the milk, they will smile, looking at the mother's face. So Krishna is looking at Krishna's face. Yashoda Devi could see that happiness in Krishna, and that is what pangangaragarujirav ubaguhyadorbhyam, the happiness in there. And the angaragam, angaragam means, it's a kind, angaragam is generally mentioned for decorating the body. Pangangaragam means, how can you decorate the body with the mud, what was in the ground. So, but Sudeva Goswami says, it's not a wrong thing, because normally while bathing, you apply this mrtiga, the clay. The clay you use for cleaning the body, that is the system. When the soap didn't exist at that time, soap and other things, they always used particular kind of clay. In every village you will find that, a clay that was used for cleaning the body. And while cleaning the body, they chant certain mantra. The Brahmanas chant the mantra, which is known as Mrtiya Suktam. So in that Mrtiya Suktam, it is mentioned there that they will bathe. One of the mantram, it means that whatever sinful activities I have performed, that all should be get that cleaned up by this, in this body. Whatever I've done, any sinful activities I've done with this body, let that be cleaned by using this mrtika or the clay. And so children were drinking the milk and they were smiling at Yashoda sometimes. So, Tanmadharau Nijasadau Granayasnu Vandyau Pangangaragarujirau Uvaguhyadorbhyam Dutvastanam Prabibadosma Mukham Nirikshyam Mugdaspidalpadashanam Yedu Pramodam. Whenever the children were drinking the milk, Yashoda Devi will feel that happiness of Krishna and gave them a, and looked at Krishna and smiled at Krishna, seeing Krishna's happiness. So Yashoda Devi and Krishna, both of them were enjoying together that association. So when Krishna walked behind the calves, particularly the calves have taught Krishna how to walk. The calves have taught Krishna. How to walk. So, Andar Vraje Krishnamaveja Joram Yar Arhyananga Darshaniya Kumara Leela Andar Vraje Tadabala Pragrahida Puchai Valsaidastada Ubhava Nukrishyamano Prashanda Mujjita Griha Jakushur Hasandhyaha. Then, Krishna and Balaram, in order to entertain the gopis, they have started their beautiful childhood pastimes. And when they were playing like that, all the gopis had come to see Yashoda Devi. They wanted to see Krishna and Balaram. So gopis have started visiting Krishna's, Yashoda's house just to see the children. They will come every day. As soon as they finish their housework, they will come to Nanda Maharaj's house to see Krishna and Balaram. They had their own children, but they felt a special attraction to Krishna and Balaram. That is what it's mentioned here. So, they will come there, and here is where Subhadeva Goswami mentioned something very important. What is he saying here? He said, Yara Arhyananga Darshaniya Kumara Leela Andar Braje Tadavala Prakrahida Puchaihi Valsairidastada Ubhav Anukrishyamanav Prakshanda Ujjita Griha Jakhrushur Hasandhyaha. Then, why these childhood pastimes, Yashoda is saying there. Then, Krishna's childhood pastimes, why did Sukadeva Goswami speak so extensively in the Srimad Bhagavatam? This is a question, isn't it? Everybody, there must be a specific reason behind it. That Krishna's childhood pastimes, Balalila, has been spoken very extensively in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and many, many devotees have expanded on that. Taking this pastimes from Bhagavatam, they have expanded on that. For example, like Vilvamangalam in his Krishna Karnamadam, and there are many other literature where Krishna's childhood pastimes is expanded in the sense that they have taken the particular childhood pastime and they have developed a full story centered around that, how that incident happened. So that's why you will find many instances devotees talking about one particular pastime in slightly different ways, because devotees have developed the stories according to their understanding about that pastime, what has happened in the Gokulam. It is not the story, it is reported like a historical incident. That is not how it's spoken. It's spoken about those pastimes, somehow or the other, to remember Krishna all the time. In order to do that, these childhood pastimes are important. But how Sukadeva Goswami reminds us is this way. He says there that when the cowherd boys, later on, also you will notice this later, when the cowherd boys, they were with Krishna. He says they were experiencing a certain kind of happiness. What was that happiness? It's called as Brahma Sukham. Ittam sadam Brahma Sukhan Bhutya Dasyam Gadanam Paradevadenam Maya Shridanam Paradevadenanam Sagam Vijakru Krida Punya Punjam. There is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam later, Sudeva Goswami says. What he means is that Itam Sadam Brahma Sukhanu Bhutyam. What was that special happiness what the gopis were experiencing or the cowherd boys were experiencing in Krishna's association? What you have to remember here is that this personality who is there at the moment is not an ordinary child. It's not an ordinary child. It is Brahmam. Brahmam itself has come in this form. That's why he says there, Itham Sadam Brahma Sukhanubhutyam. Brahma Sukham is what they were experiencing at that moment. Brahma Sukham, that's what they were experiencing at that moment. So, in order to make us aware that all these activities are performed by Brahmam, by the Brahmam itself. Brahmam itself has come here. And so similarly, it mentions here that the if you develop the same relationship with other living entities in this world, because ultimately every living entity is Brahman, isn't it? Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, we say. So Sukadeva Goswami's point is that if we somehow cultivate that relationship, that Brahman is present in everyone, that Krishna is present in everyone, and it is Brahman that is present there, that Brahman is in the dress of a man, woman, and father, mother, and many other forms, it creates a different emotions inside, and it is what we are experiencing, that happiness in others' association, is actually that Brahma Sukham. That is what Sudeva Goswami is saying here. So through Krishna's pastimes, Sudeva Goswami wanted to make us aware that even at home, when you have to relate with other people, if with this understanding that it is Brahma Sukham, that is what has to come from that, not based on the sensual happiness, that is the point what he was trying to. This process is a mystical process. It's a mystical process. So when you hear about Krishna's pastimes, if you start realizing that all of this is Krishna's leela or pastimes, and our life also will turn into a Krishna's pastime. Our life also has to become a Krishna's pastime. At the moment, because of our identification with the body, mind, intelligence and ego, while we operate in this world, we find a lot of problems in life. Sudeva Goswami is saying here, just like the gopis and Yashoda Devi and Rohini and others in Brajam, in Gokulam, how they saw happiness in Krishna's association and they forgotten, and they were experiencing directly that Brahma Sukham. Itham sadam Brahma Sukhanubhutya. Brahma Sukhanubhutya. That Brahma Sukham, what they were experiencing there. Yasyam gadanam paradeva dena maya shridanam paradaragena sagam vijakru kritapunya punjaha. So even in their daily life, the gopis have started relating with Krishna in that way, that they could not see Krishna in any other way. They did not know Krishna was Brahman or anything, but they had this experience of the from the gopis, had this experience of Krishna, and they were experiencing a certain happiness inside, which Sudeva Goswami mentions here as Brahma Sukham. He calls it as Brahma Sukham. So Krishna, Sudeva Goswami says to us, that bhavam or that mood, what the gopis had, Krishna says there, Sudeva Goswami says here, that should wake up in our heart also when we deal with the children at home. When you deal with the children at home. So, and that is how first bhakti develops in the heart. There is a reason for that, that Krishna's pastimes has been spoken with a specific intention, that when you are dealing with children in the same way, actually children are spiritually more advanced than us because they don't have the bodily concept like we have, isn't it? Bodily concept has come to us much later, after we grew up. We got conditioned by the world, and how that grows is well known, isn't it? Initially you can notice this also. When a baby is born, the baby does not identify with the body. Body says, does something, and baby is feeling something different. But sometimes you will notice it moves its legs and hands in different directions. If you tell them, it won't understand. Baby even doesn't know what its eyes are, what its nose are, what its ears are. Then what do? We keep telling, we pointing out to our eye, what is this? We'll ask. So baby will say something, some nonsense it will say. We'll say to them, no, this is the eye, this is the eye, this is the eye. In everywhere in the world, the same thing goes on. Then we tell the baby to tell them that what is this, we'll point out the ear. And we will bring the baby into bodily concept of life. Bring the baby into bodily concept of life. While taking birth as such, it's not in the bodily concept of life. It is us who are already full of ajnanam inside, wants to bring them to our world. And then we give them a name to that baby, and tell the baby all the time, we'll ask them, what's your name? He doesn't know its name. What does it know about its own name? Then we'll tell them whatever the name, Hari or Rama or Krishna, whatever it is. And after everybody starts repeating this many times, then the baby says, I am Hari, or I am Rama, I am Krishna, I am Peter, I am Paul, whatever it is. It'll say it like that, isn't it? So when the baby starts doing all these things properly, like the way we want him to do, we have brought the baby into our ignorant life. That's what it is basically. Initially the baby doesn't know anything. Baby is completely independent of the body, it's living there. See, you have to see this. Because we are conditioned by the science very much, we will not understand this properly. Actually, we say the mind is inside the body. From the Vedic point of view, body is inside the mind. It is from the mind everything has come. From the mind, the body has come. From the mind, the body has come. You have to think through it, then you will know it is true also. From the mind, the body has come. The body, actually, the mind develops into three different levels, the body. The sthula shariram, the sushma shariram and karana shariram. That means the gross body, the subtle body and the causal body. In three different bodies, the mind manifests. In the vacant state, it comes in the gross body. That is this gross body what you see. In this dream state, it comes, the mind comes as the subtle body. In the dream state, the mind comes as the subtle body. In the vacant state, the mind comes as the gross body. And in the deep sleep state, again, the mind comes as a covering of the soul. In the ethic covering of ignorance around the soul, and that is what we call as the causal body, ajnanam, or karana shariram, it is called. So body is, it is not within body, it is not within body, it is not within body the mind is. Body is inside the mind. That is the Vedic philosophical understanding. The rishis are repeatedly stressing this point to us, that everything has come from the mind. Mind is the cause of everything. So we have the gross body, which is in the vacant state, which has come from the mind. Then we have the subtle body, which is in the dream state, which has come from the mind. And we have the causal body, or karana shariram, it is called, which is comes in the deep sleep state, as a form of coverage of the soul. So all these three bodies has come from the mind. So you'll see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that this mind, which is the source of all the creation, and through the gross body and through the senses, mind makes the contact with the world outside. Mind makes the contact through the gross body and the senses with the world outside. Most of us, it is a very established concept in our head that mind is inside this body. That is how generally we will perceive things, isn't it? I have got my own mind, we say. But actually, it is from the mind that your so-called body has come. Body has come from the mind. This is the most important part. Body has come from the mind. Mind doesn't come inside the body. Body has come from the mind. So, therefore, it is this mind that is the most, it's very difficult to define what that mind is. Nobody knows about this mind. Even psychologists also cannot say about it very much. They also have limitations on that. So here, Krishna says here that bhakti, that what in these childhood pastimes, Sudeva Goswami is saying here that due to association of Krishna, the gopis started experiencing some phenomenal happiness inside, which they do not know where it's coming from, where it was coming from. He is keep us reminding, you must remember here, he says, who is playing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj? Who is playing in the courtyard of Maharaj? Itham sadam brahma sughana bhutyam dasyam gadanam paradevadena mayashridanam paradaragena sagam vijahru krida punya punjam. That In the Bhagavatam, if you look, that verse you will see somewhere later, it mentions about the the particular nature of how devotees related with Krishna. How devotees related with Krishna. When the when Krishna and the cowherd boys, when they were having prasadam together in the forest, Lord Brahma decided to steal all the calves from there. And that is a famous pastime of Brahma Vimohana Leela in the Bhagavatam. So there, when Brahma came there, what he saw there was the cowherd boys, they were having a specific relationship with Krishna. They were experiencing the same Brahma Sukham like the gopis were experiencing here at home, when they had come to see Krishna and Balaram while they were playing in the courtyard. So, bhakti begins in situations like that. Bhakti begins in situations like that. So, first class devotion, which does not have any reason, or which does not expect any results from that bhakti, that is the first class devotion. You will see in the third canto, it talks about that. If you look into the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Maharshi talks about bhakti. What does bhakti mean? He says there that in the it is talking about bhakti's true nature of bhakti in the Bhagavata. What is bhakti? Bhakti's actual nature of bhakti. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, says here, Madguna Shruti Matrayana Mai Sarvaguhashaye Manogadi Ravi Chinna Yadha Gangampa Sombhudau Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Hudakhridam Ahaiduki Avyavahida Ya Bhakti Purushottami. So he says there that Madguna Shruti Matrena Madguna Shruti Matrena Mai Sarva Guhashaye. As soon as you hear about Krishna, Kapila Maharshi says there, as soon as you hear about Krishna, of the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna who is situated within the heart of everyone, Andaryami, Mai Sarva Guhashaye. So, Guha means this heart inside, it's a cave inside where Krishna is present everywhere, everyone. Mai Sarva Guhashaye, as soon as you hear that, and when you hear about Krishna, when your mind starts flowing towards, just like Ganga River flows to the ocean, in the same way, your mental activities starts flowing towards Krishna, then he says that is the first class bhakti, first class devotion. In other words, when you hear about Krishna, Madguna Shruti Matrena, when you hear about Krishna, Mai Sarva Guhashaye, who is present in the heart of everyone. Exactly like the way Ganga River flows towards the ocean with high speed to reach the ocean. Similarly, when our attachment inside or our mind also goes towards Krishna in the same way, then he says that is Nirguna Bhakti. That is first class bhakti. And he says also there that Malguna Shruti Matrena Mai Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Udahridam Ahaidukya Vyavahida Ya Bhakti Purushottami. That Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Udahridam. Bhakti Yoga Lakshanam, the symptom of Bhakti Yogam is like that, he says. Nirgunasya Udahridam. That it should not be contaminated by any other thoughts, like some results from that for any particular, with any particular reason, if one's bhakti flows, then that is not considered to be proper. Lakshanam bhakti yogasya. Nirgunasya udahridam. Nirgunam it is. It is not affected by any modes of nature. When the modes of nature has not touched bhakti, that bhakti is the perfect bhakti. നൈതർ സാത്വികം നോർ രാജസം നോർ താമസം. സോ സത്വം രജസ് തമസ് ദീസ് ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ഹാസ് എൻ ഇഫക്ട് ഓൺ എവറിഥിങ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ഓൾ ഓബ്ജക്ട്സ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, ഓൾ പേഴ്സൺസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, ഓൾ ലിവിങ് എൻറ്റിറ്റീസ്, ദേ ആർ ഓൾ അണ്ടർ ദീസ് ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ. ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ, വെൻ വി സേ അണ്ടർ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ, ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ദീസ് മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ ഹാസ് എൻട്രഡ് ഇൻ ടു എവറിബഡി. ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് എൻട്രഡ് ഇൻ ടു എവറി വൺ ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് വിൽ കൺട്രോൾ അസ് ത്രൂ ദീസ് ത്രീ മോഡ്സ്. മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ, പ്രകൃതി കൺട്രോൾസ് അസ്. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വൈ അവർ ഓൾ അവർ ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, ഈവൺ കൃഷ്ണ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് കംസ് അണ്ടർ ദീസ് ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് വെൻ വി ഓപ്പറേറ്റ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ. When we are under the three modes, only when Krishna is here, Kapila Vasudeva is saying to Devahuti, only when you are freed from the three modes of material nature, your bhakti is pure. The bhakti is pure only when you are released from the three modes of material nature. Only then the bhakti is pure. That's why he is saying here, Malguna Shri Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Udahridam. നിർഗുണസ്യ ഉദാഹരണം, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് നിർഗുണം, ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് നോ മോഡ്സ് ഇൻ ദയർ. അഹൈതുകി അവ്യവഹിത അഹൈതുകി, ദർ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഭക്തി ഹാസ് നോ റീസൺ ബിഹൈൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് എനിത്തിങ്. അവ്യവഹിത യാ ഭക്തി പുരുഷോത്തമേ, സച്ച് എ ഭക്തി ഈസ് കോൾഡ് പ്രോപ്പർ ഭക്തി. ആസ് കൃഷ്ണ, ആസ് കപിലവാസുദേവ് സേസ് ടു ദേവഹൂതി ദേവി. സോ ദാറ്റ്സ് ഇറ്റ് സെയിം തിങ് ഹിയർ ഓൾസോ. ഈ മെൻഷൻസ് ദയർ കപിലവാസുദേവ് ഡിഫൈൻസ് ഭക്തി ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ. So when we hear about Krishna, immediately you experience Krishna. You experience Krishna. Mai sarva guhashe. So only something what you have known well, only with that object you can experience that happiness. Anubhuti. Anubhuti is mentioned here. Now the question will come, how can it happen to everyone? Yes, it says it can, because that is why he mentions there mai sarvaguhashe, that he is present in everyone's heart. So mai sarvaguhashe, without uninterrupted flow, uninterrupted, because that experience of bhakti what Kapila Vasudev talks about here, that continuously all the chittavritti, all activities of the mind goes towards Krishna, and without any break, that you are unable to forget Krishna anymore, that constantly flowing, that relationship with Krishna is continuing without any interruption. That is what he is mentions here as the bhakti. So even if you want to forget Krishna, you can't forget Krishna at that time, that kind of bhakti. And when this happens, he says here that just like when the sun comes, the darkness goes away. Similarly, when bhakti develops in the heart of a person, Krishna says many things will happen in a devotee's heart. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will see this in the 12th chapter. What happens when bhakti develops in the heart? What is that? Adveshta sarvabhodanam maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahangara sugadukha samashtami sandushta satadam yogi yad alma drada nishaya mai arpita manobuddhir yomal bhakta samaya priya yasmanno dvijade logo loganno dvijade chaya harsham harsham ubhayodvagir bhaya udvagir muktoya sajamaya priya. So there are so many qualities of a devotee mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in the 12th chapter. You will see there, beginning with this word adveshta sarvabhudanam. So when bhakti develops in a heart, what normally happens is that these qualities will come in that person. These qualities will come in that person. So in order that bhakti to develop inside and cultivate completely, our attachment to this world has to go from inside. Attachment to this world has to go from inside. And this is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it mentions there that the vairagyam is a pre-requirement towards bhakti. And this attachment to the world will not go very easily unless we experience some unhappiness with the world. Unless we experience some unhappiness with the world. That means, that is why often Krishna in many, many devotees' lives, they have given sufficient misery for them to develop that kind of detachment from this world. So as a person who has developed that kind of renunciation from this world, therefore mentions, Bhagavata also mentions this, that Krishnavadaram, in Krishna's appearance, Sneham, Dvesham, Anuragam, different kinds of emotions people experienced in this world. People experience in this world, and all of them they manage to direct it towards Krishna. Those who have succeeded in that way, like other examples given there, Gopya Kamal, they had the lusty relationship with Krishna, gopis had. They got attracted to Krishna's beauty and Krishna's personality in that way, and they followed Krishna, and Krishna purified them, their emotions, and they became pure devotees later. Bhayal Kamsa. Kamsa also had a relationship with Krishna, except that instead of like the gopis had due to lust, Kamsa had due to fear. Gopya Kamal, Bhayal Kamsa, Dveshe Chaityadeyo Nruga. Shishubala and others, they had hate towards Krishna, but all of them had some relationship with Krishna. It is that relationship, holding on to that, they managed to get themselves purified in that way, because it was directed towards Krishna. Was directed towards Krishna. So, so in the same way Krishna is saying here that if proper bhakti develops in a heart, what will happen to that person? And that is what those qualities mentioned in the 12th chapter. Advaishta. Advaishta means he has no hate towards anyone in this world. No hating anybody. If we find that we have some difficulties in this world towards anyone, or feeling uncomfortable with anybody, for any kind of ill feelings towards anyone building up, the only reason for that is there is no bhakti in the heart. That is the way all the sages are advising us. There are examples in the Bhagavatam for that. It is due to lack of bhakti inside that all the other lust, anger, greed, all other things are developing inside the heart. This is the point Bhagavatam is making to us. If there is bhakti, the hate should not be there towards anyone. Advaishta. Advaishta sarvabhudanam, to all other living entities. If you remember, Dhruva Maharaj, when he left the forest and came back, and Krishna blessed him with 36,000 years ruling the planet, and as a king, for a long period of time, and during that time his stepbrother Uttama was killed in the forest, and Dhruva decided to take revenge for that. Dhruva goes there and starts fighting with all the yakshas who have killed Uttama. Uttama was killed by the yakshas. So after they were killed, after many yakshas were killed by Dhruva. So at one point, among them, the Yakshas king came up and said to Dhruva, "Why do you kill everyone? One Yaksha has committed this offense of killing Uttama, for which do you have to kill everybody, all the Yakshas? What have they done to you for that?" Dhruva will not hear anything. Then Swayambhu Manu came there to instruct Dhruva about that. At that point, Dhruva realized it, that there is something wrong in him. It's very difficult for us to think that we are wrong anytime, isn't it? We are always think that somebody else is responsible for all our distress in this world. And it is in the Bhagavatam, it mentions there, that the Dhruva at that point, when Swayambhu Manu spoke to him, Kubera also came to talk to him. And Kubera also mentioned to him, "You are a devotee. You had association with Krishna before. Krishna has appeared in front of you, and you have taken this special boon from Krishna, and you are such an elevated soul. How could you do such a thing?" It was then that Krishna, Dhruva acknowledges there, "Yes, I have made this great mistake." Because he says, "My Krishna consciousness, I have lost it at that point. That is why I have acted like that." So normally it's not possible to admit like that for anybody, isn't it? We will not admit that. But Dhruva did admit that. Dhruva says that it is only due to lack of my Krishna consciousness that I have done such a wrong thing, killing all the other people which were, who are not even responsible for Uttama's death. So so Advaishta Sarvabhudanam, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Advaishta means can't hate anybody. That is the a devotee's nature. Maitra Karuna Yavacha, Maitri Bhava. That means friendship towards everybody. So so in the Bhagavadam you will notice that these things are spoken in the Bhagavadam in a very subtle level at different points, at different places in the Bhagavadam. If you remember, in the sixth canto of Bhagavadam, there is what is known as Narayana Kavacham, isn't it? Narayana Kavacham is spoken in the sixth canto. In that incident with Vishwarupa and Tvashtav and Vritrasura story. That's where you find there. So what has happened there is that in that Narayana Kavacham, you may have heard from many places, people chanting Narayana Kavacham. They are, and protection, they say, for protection, isn't it? For protection, they chant this Narayana Kavacham. It's available on the CDs and internet everywhere. You can download it and listen to it also. It's on the sixth canto. It's in the sixth canto. It is a very subtle mantra, this Narayana Kavacham. Actually, there are many verses in that Narayana Kavacham. I'll just read a few verses and tell you what the problem in understanding this Narayana Kavacham is. When this Narayana Kavacham was spoken, Narayana, it is the 8th chapter, the king or Parikshit Maharaj asked him that how Indra won over all his other enemies and how he got back his three planetary systems under his control, and that technique of Narayana Kavacham, what he has recited, can you repeat that to me? He says to him, it is due to Narayana Kavacham only that Indra has won over his enemies, he says. Who Parikshit Maharaj says this to Sudev Goswami. So Sudev Goswami says to him that I will recite. Vishwarupa is saying this. Vishwarupa was present, who was in that pastime, who was performing the sacrifice. So Vishwarupa explains there how Narayana Kavacham used to be recited. It starts with the verses 4 in the 8th chapter of the 6th canto in the 8th chapter. It goes on all the way right up to 35. Right up to 35. So many verses is Narayana Kavacham. If you read the translation of those verses, you will see there different forms of Vishnu, let that protect me. Different forms of Vishnu, let it protect me. It says there in the Bhagavatam. For example, he says that Narasimha Murti should protect me and from different, and Ramachandra should protect me from another side. Like this, different forms of Vishnu, should protect me from different sides of me. Now, normally when you read those verses, you will think that it is for your protection of your body, isn't it? Protection of the body, that all these, and as it is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Indra won over all his enemies through by reciting Narayana Kavacham. So why, how come that when we recite Narayana Kavacham, we don't get that protection? That's always the interesting question, isn't it? So devotees study this Narayana Kavacham in that way, and we find that what Indra has happened to Indra, it hasn't happened to us. Why? That is the important question, isn't it? So that's why when you study Narayana Kavacham, you have to observe something important there. That after talking about everything in this world, the whole creation, it says there, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva വസ്തുതാ സദസ ചയൽ സത്യേനാനേന ന സർവേ യാന്തു നാശമുപദ്രവാഹ. യദാഹി ഭഗവാൻ ഏവ വസ്തുതാ സദസ ചയൽ. ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ ഇറ്റ്സെൽഫ് ഈസ് ആക്ച്വലി കൃഷ്ണ. ക്രിയേഷൻ ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ. Creation itself is Krishna, isn't it? And if it is like that, because of that, let me not have any distress from this world. This is how Narayana Kavacham ends. From that verse, that is actually Narayana Kavacham, that verse. Not all the other verses what was spoken before. You see? That means, if you see this world as Krishna's manifestations, then you don't have to be frightened about anything from this world. It's not that Krishna is going to protect us from behind, from the sides, from the top, from the bottom and all like the verses say. If you take it like that, that is the direct understanding of those verses. But proper understanding is that it is in that 31st verse. യഥാഹി ഭഗവാനേവ വസ്തുത സദസ ചയൽ സത്യേനാനേന ന സർവേ യാന്തു നാശ ഉപദ്രവാഹ. ഇൻ ദ പ്രീവിയസ് വേഴ്സസ് ദാറ്റ് ലെറ്റ് വിശ്വക്സേന പ്രൊട്ടക്ട് മീ, ലെറ്റ് ഗരുഡ പ്രൊട്ടക്ട് മീ, ലെറ്റ് ഹരി പ്രൊട്ടക്ട് മീ, ആൻഡ് ഹരി ഷുഡ് ഹരീസ് നെയിം ആൻഡ് ഫോം ഹിസ് വെപ്പൺസ് ഹിസ് അസോസിയേറ്റ്സ്, ലെറ്റ് ദം പ്രൊട്ടക്ട് മൈ ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ് മൈൻഡ് ആൻഡ് ദി life air. And prior to that says that Garuda should protect me always, and Vishwaksena should protect me. Vishwaksena is another associate of Vishnu, and from all dangers. And then from another verse says before that, wherever your holy name should protect me from the from snakes and wild animals and ghosts and other sinful activities I perform, all these things. So like that, you can see from the verse 4 onwards, if you start reading Narayana Kavacham, you will see till the end, so many places protection is, the Vishwarupa is saying there, protection for different parts of the body in different situations. But if you read that 31st verse, you can see there, യഥാഹി ഭഗവാൻ ഏവ യസ്തുത സദസ ചയൻ. ദാറ്റ് സത്ത് അസത്ത് ഇൻ ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ, സത് ആൻഡ് അസത് ബോത്ത് ആർ ദെയർ, ഇസ്നിറ്റ്? സത് ഈസ് ദെയർ, അസത് ഈസ് ദെയർ ഇൻ ദ ക്രിയേഷൻ, ആൻഡ് ബോത്ത് ആർ ആക്ച്വലി കൃഷ്ണസ് മാനിഫെസ്റ്റേഷൻ, ഇസ്നിറ്റ്? ഓൺലി കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ഓൾ ദ സത്ത്. വാട്ട് യു സീ ഇൻ ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ ഈസ് ആൾസോ കൃഷ്ണ. ഓൾ ദി അസത്ത് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഹാൻഡ്സ് വാട്ട് യു സീ ഹിയർ ഈസ് ആൾസോ കൃഷ്ണ. So Satya and Asatya, that if it is Krishna, then that reality itself will destroy all my distress in this world. That is how that Narayana Kavacham has to be understood. Vishwarupa's prayers particularly. It is that one particular verse is the essence of that Narayana Kavacham. The essence of Narayana Kavacham is that verse. യഥാഹി ഭഗവാനേവ വസ്തുതാ സദസ ചയൽ സത്യേനാനേന ന സർവേ യാന്തു നാശമുപദ്രവാഹം. യഥൈകാത്മാനുഭാവാനാം വികൽപ്പരഹിത സ്വയം ഭൂഷണായുധലിംഗാഖ്യാദത്തെ ശക്തി സ്വമായയാം. സോ ഇഫ് യു ആർ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഓഫ് കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ദാൻ സദസ് സത് അസത്ത് ബോത്ത് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണസ് മാനിഫെസ്റ്റേഷൻ. And if that realization happens to one, then there is no more fear about the world outside. Do you see what I'm saying? That normally we recite this Narayana Kavacham frightened of the world. That the world is going to give you a lot of trouble from enemies, from the... So many devotees, they study this Narayana Kavacham with the intention for protection from the world, from trouble from others. Trouble from others. So that is all the verses. When you read Narayana Kavacham, you will see this. Please protect me from this side, from that side, from back side, from the front side and everything. And we keep thinking that, oh, if I chant this, maybe I'll be protected. That's how we take these verses. But at the very end of Narayana Kavacham, what Vishwarupa is saying there is, यदा ही भगवान एव अल्टीमेटली whom from whom you are fearful of, whom you frighten that they are going to give you fear in this world, they are also Krishna's manifestations in this world. Satya, Asatya, both of them in this world are Krishna's presence in this world. If that realization happens, then there is no more fearful of anything in this world. There is nothing to be fearful of anything in this world. That is why saying here, yadā hi bhagavā aneva vastudā sadasa chayal satya nānīnana sarve yāndunāsham upadravāham. Because that is the truth. If that truth, if you realize it, only with that you will have no distress after that in this world. There is no need to be fearful of anyone or anything in this world. Because everything is Krishna at the end, isn't it? Everything is Krishna at the end. In the beginning we have this fear inside. Somebody is going to give me trouble, or somebody is going to attack me, or somebody is going to... that is where we start thinking in terms of friends and enemies, and we say only devotees we will associate with, others are all demons in this world. In this way we can cultivate a consciousness like that. We cultivate like that consciousness. And then you know that Bhagavan eva, but proper way to see that is only Krishna is present in everyone. Only Krishna is present in everyone. And when that realization comes, satye nanena na sarve yandu nasha upadravaha. If that realization is the only truth, nothing else is the truth. And yandu nasha upadravaha, there will no more upadravam from there afterwards. So this is the words that Krishna mentions there. Then, if we know this, when we know this, when this realization comes, that upadrava means the disturbance inside. What is that disturbance inside? Disturbance inside is sense gratification. That is our disturbance inside. The mind is disturbed only due to desire for sense enjoyment. Otherwise, mind doesn't get disturbed. And naturally, when we realize this Krishna's presence in all other living entity, that if the whole world is Krishna's form, Krishna is present in this world outside as we see now, then you will not feel that desire for sense gratification will leave us. Therefore, sense gratification will leave us, and it is not possible even to hate anyone at that stage. So, there are many instances in the Bhagavatam. In great devotees' case also, you have heard these stories before, that how they have developed this particular verse in their understanding. It has become very strong that they could not feel any hate towards anyone. Remember that incident we talked about, Ekanath Swami. Ekanath was a great devotee, Maharashtrian saint, isn't it? Like Jnaneshwar, Tukaram, Namadev, like that. Ekanath was a great personality. So Ekanath, he used to go to Godavari River and bathe every day. And in one instance, one person, a group of people actually, they were very offensive to Ekanath, and they were trying to insult him and offend him in many ways. In one instance, Ekanath was going to bathe in Godavari River, and while he was coming back, one of them who sat there and spat on him. Ekanath didn't say anything. He went back to the river and bathed himself and came back again, without creating any protest, without saying any protesting them to them, or causing any problem with anybody. So it was then that this person who watched Ekanath coming back after bathing again spat at him. This happened a few times. When all these things happened, that person was very determined somehow or the other to agitate Ekanath's mind. Ekanath kept on going to the river and bathing again and again. 27 times this happened. 27 times this has happened. After the 27th time, this person who spat on Ekanath, he changed. He changed at that point.
Just see the strength of spiritual life. That ultimately Ekanad has made him understand. And that the reality is that he was asking Ekanad, I kept on spitting at you and he kept on going and bathing in the river. 27 times this happened. So he asked Ekanad, why did you not react to this situation? When I was spitting at you, you kept on doing this. Ekanad's reply you should see there. Ekanad says to him that you have spat on me. I can wash it and clean it. It's not a problem. But suppose if I reacted to you in any way, that dirt, what will be created inside, that vasana, how can I clean it? This was Ekanath's question. See, how on a subtle level the understanding Ekanath had, that suppose somebody gives you, disturb your, they spit at you or they offend you in any way, in the body, if any way is insulted, it can be, something can be done about that. But if you, in that process, if you create a hate or any anger inside, Ekanath's point was, how will I clean that? This was how Ekanath was asking that question. So practically, Ekanath was very certain about this, that when they come into, when anyone like that come into contact with them, practically they are wiping out our prarabdham. So in the world, many people will give you trouble. There is no question about that. They will always give you trouble in one way or the other. And actually they are helping us in one way to wipe out our prarabdha karma. Or prarabdha karma, that something that we had to experience, it is wiped out. Similarly, whatever difficulties when we have, others are giving us trouble, we should accept it, that devotees are saying to us that you should accept it in such a way that you are getting released from your prarabdha karma. Kabir, a great devotee, what he used to say is that you should always keep people with you who will criticize you. You should give them money and keep them with you. Because if you do like that, they will always take away your karma by doing that. Whereas if you get a group of people who are psychophants all around telling you all how great you are, how and glorifying you all the time, they are only going to cause problems for you. That is what Kabir is saying here. So, Adveshta sarva bhudanam maitra karunaye vaja nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sugakshamim. So, knowing very well what is, even in reacting with others, the point what Sukadeva Goswami is also mentioning here is that in our relationship with others, we have to think what is best for us, what is good for us, hitam for us, and in that way we should act rather than thinking about the other person's destruction and the other destruction. Because only if you are looking after your own spiritual life, this consciousness will develop in the heart. Will develop in the heart. Krishna says to, Ramachandra says this to all the Jambavan and others who are present there. When Ramachandra says that, says to them, that when Vibhishana came, but there was a question whether we should accept Vibhishana or not, because he has come to take shelter and he was staying with Ravana all this time. Ramachandra's point was, if somebody comes here to me and says he is my friend, then I will accept him, even if it's Ravana, he says. Even if it is Ravana. Mitra bhavam sampraptena, he says. So, sandushta satanam yogi, samadukha sugakshami, nityam nityolsambam bhavatyesham nityashri nityamangalam esham hridistho bhagavan mangalaya tano harihi. So, for the devotees, it's always in Krishna consciousness, every day is a festival. Every day is a festival. So, for them, the happiness is not coming from the world outside. It is by due to association with Krishna. So, so here, you will see here that the in these few verses, what was happening in that childhood pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yarhanganadarshaniya kumaralila andravraje tadavala pragrihita puchai valsairidastada ubhav anukrishyamano prakshanda ujjita griha jahrushur hasandhyaha. So here Krishna and Balaram, they have started engaged in such activities that gopis started observing them, how they were playing with the calves and the cows, calves and the cows. And they were experiencing a great pleasure in seeing Krishna and Balaram's childhood pastimes. And that childhood pastimes is what is spoken in the next few verses. Shringyagni damshtrasijala dijagandagebhya kridaparavadijalau susudau nishedham guhyani kartrumabhiyatra rajananyo shoka shekada apuduralam manaso navastam. Shringyagni damshtrasi asi jala dijagandagebhyam. Then what they were observing there was not only the cows. Krishna and Balaram started imitating all the birds also, and then the cat. And they did not know the difference between fire and water. And so, and the knives which was kept in the kitchen for cutting vegetables, all these things were toys for Krishna and Balaram to play. There's so many things in a natural environment while growing up, this is how they played. Then, similarly, the thorns in the garden, all these things, Krishna and Balaram did not take any notice at all. So, it was causing a constant anxiety for Yashoda Devi and Rohini. They were constantly in anxiety about Krishna and Balaram. If you, Yashoda's complaint to Rohini was that keeping these two boys together, how is it possible to get any work done in the kitchen? That was their anxiety all the time. So they were imitating everything what they saw outside, the birds, the cat, the monkeys, everything. And also no fear of water or fire. And similarly, knives, everything they took, and they were getting in terrible anxiety. Who? Yashoda and Rohini. Shringyagni damshtasi jala dijakanda gebhya krida paravati jalo susudau nishedhum gruhyani kartumabi yatranata jananyo shegada abuduralam manasonavastam. Manasonavastam. Manasonavastam means in their mind they were feeling great anxiety of how to look after Krishna and Balaram. This anxiety was building up in Yashoda Devi and Rohini's heart. When the anxiety became very unbearable, they mentioned this to Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj decided that we have to get somebody to look after them. Somebody to look after them. So Nanda Maharaj informed everyone who will like to look after Krishna and Balaram. So apparently there were 32 gopis came, and Yashoda Nanda Maharaj decided to conduct an interview. Who should be taken for the looking after Krishna and Balaram? These are all stories spoken about the incident what happened at that time. So eventually they decided to employ everybody. All 32 of them were given employment there to look after Krishna and Balaram. And that is how that pastime became expanded. The gopis got a better opportunity. Most of them were interested in playing with Krishna and Balaram rather than looking after them. So on the pretext that some devotees talk about that, how Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda have interviewed different gopis for the job, what was on offer. So job interview. So Krishna and Balaram had this opportunity now to associate with all the gopis together. All 32 of them have come. And Shangyagni damshtra asijalad vijagandagebhya krida paramati chalo susudau nishedhum gukhyane kartrum aviyatrana tajjananyo shekada apaduralam manasonavastham. It is at this stage that the anxiety in their heart for Yashoda and Rohini that has led into a situation like that, they started feeling that necessary to have people from outside. So, normally, why this mood has changed in this way for the gopis? Sukadeva Goswami says there, generally we get our happiness from the world outside, isn't it? From the world outside. So, objects outside, that is a Brahmam, he says. The Brahmam means it's a kind of an illusion in us. So, actually all happiness is originating from the soul. All the happiness is originating from the soul. But mistakenly we think the happiness is coming from an object outside in the world. And there also, the reflection of the soul in the objects outside is what we experiencing ourselves. We experiencing ourselves. Something like, just like when you have, when you're having a feast, suppose you have some nice dishes, what you like to enjoy, and when you have a lot of hunger, and if you have a nice feast at that time, you feel a happiness. But where did this happiness coming from? It is not, you are thinking that the happiness is coming from the food. You're thinking that the happiness is coming from the sweet rice or halwa or whatever it is. But you can see the same sweet rice or halwa, if we take it and rub it onto the pillar, it won't feel that happiness like we felt. Or if you cut our tongue and dip it in the sweet rice, it won't experience that, isn't it? The same happiness what you are experiencing. So where is the happiness coming from? So any time, in any kind of sense gratification even, that experience of that particular sense gratification, happiness that is coming from that, is actually coming from the soul. Is actually coming from the soul. Only when the tongue is joined with the body, only at that time, and only if the life Krishna is present inside the body, only at that time the living entity experiences that happiness, the taste for the food. And what he is experiencing, what he is experiencing through the eyes and enjoying this world through the eye, smelling anything in this world and experiencing happiness through the smell, hearing something and experiencing the happiness of the sound, tasting something and experiencing the happiness of the taste, or touching something and experiencing the happiness from the touch, all these happinesses originates from the soul. It's not from the object. It's not coming from the object. It's coming from the soul. So, that is why, and if you think about this, when Nachiketa went to see Yama, Nachiketa asked him, what happens at the time of death? What happens at the time of death? What happens at the time of death? Yama says to him, Yama's answer you should see in the Kathamanishad. This is how we can move away from the body. Because what actually keeps us close contact with this body is due to this sense gratification. Isn't it? It is due to sense gratification that we are finding it very difficult to give up this body. Because body gives sense gratification. And we are thinking these objects and the body together is keeping us happy. Whatever little happiness what we get from this world. This is why that intelligence question, Nachiketa asked to Yama, that what is happening that at the time of death, what happens? What happens at the time of death? Yama says to him, that person who is sitting inside you, inside your body, and who is seeing everything through his eyes, through your eyes, and hearing everything through your ears, and tasting everything through your tongue, and touching everything through your body, and experiencing that sense of touch, that person, that is what he is. He has left the body. So, as soon as he stops this, as soon as he stopped that, that means the activities of the senses is stopped. Indriya vyavaram it is. So, this business of sense gratification can only happen if Krishna is present inside, isn't it? Otherwise, it cannot happen. The soul, which is Krishna's presence inside us, only in His presence sense gratification can happen. But because we are not conscious about Krishna's presence inside, we think that the body is mistakenly we think that the body and the senses and the sense object is giving us happiness. This is our greatest misunderstanding. In the Bhagavatam, in the Upanishads, it says, Nachiketa says there, that the happiness is not like that, he says. It has actually come from the soul inside. And when he leaves that, all your happiness is also over. All your happiness is also yena rupa rasam gandha shabdan sparshan sparshan cha maithunan edeneiva vijanadi kimatra parishishyade edadvaitat. There is in Kathopanishad, there is a continuous instruction of the of the way the soul functions through the body. The way soul functions through the body. He says here, Yanarubam rasam gandham shabdhan sparshancha maithunat. How Yanarubam rasam gandham? Rupa means what you see through your eyes. Rasam means what you taste. Gandham means what you smell. Shabdhan means what you hear. Sparsham means what you touch. So, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. The five knowledge of the senses. Five sense knowledge of the senses. When they are interacting with the sense objects, and he says, maithunan, and sense enjoyment, that is due to the touch, sense of touch. All these things, he says, edeneya vijanedi kimatra parishishyate. These things won't be there if he has left the body. It's gone, it's finished. For example, if a person is dead and the soul has left the body, even if you give him, open his mouth, a dead body, and put some sweet rice into it, he won't have any experience of that. There is no taste for that, isn't it? Similarly, any of the senses, if you give any gratification to those senses, it cannot enjoy it. Why? Because the source where all the happiness is coming from, he has left. He has left the body. So from there you have to understand that the all happiness what we experience, even on a bodily level, through senses, mind and everything, if he is not present, that happiness cannot exist. That happiness cannot exist. Yena rupa rasam gandham shabdhan sparshan maithunan sparshancha maithunan edeneiva vijanidi kimatra parishishyade. It is whose presence that activate all these things, edadvaitada, that is him. That's who remains at the time of death. That's what Yama is saying to Nachiketas. Yama is saying to Nachiketas. He says, who sitting inside your body sees everything and engages in all kinds of business in this world, and it's the same person, he says, it's the same person who in your dream state creates all kinds of different experiences in the dream state. It is the same person who does that. The person who is allowing you to, who comes through your body and the senses and who enjoys this world, it is the same person sitting inside you during the dream state who creates a lot of thoughts and a lot of dreams inside and engages in that way. It's the same, one and the same person. And so, and he says here, and in that dream state, he brings you different experiences, isn't it? Just like in the vacant state, you are enjoying the different senses in this world. In the vacant state, that's what happens to all of us, isn't it? In the vacant state, we are enjoying this world. We see nice things, we smell nice things, we eat nice food, and we hear nice music, and we touch nice things. In this way, all five senses are engaged in this world. But where is the happiness coming from? It's coming from that person inside, from the soul. It's not coming from the object. It's not coming from the sense object. It's not coming from the senses. It's coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. And similarly, it is the same soul While you are in your dream state, who situated within inside, who develops a lots of thoughts and different dreams, have good dreams and bad dreams, and brings up everything in front of you and show it to you, all those things, and give you some happiness or distress in that state, it is the same person. And in the Kathopanishad it says like this, Yasvapneshu jagarti kamam kamam purusho vinirmida. He says, Yasha supteshu jagarti kamam kamam purusho nirmavanam tadaiva shukram tad brahma tadeva amritam uchyate tasmin loka ashrita sarve tadunatnyedi kashchana edadvai tad. So when Najedas asked this question, to Yama, who is that person who has left the body? Tell me about him. This is how Yama answered Najedas. Najedas' question was, Najedas was asking this question that what happens at the time of death? That was the question. What happens at the time of death? Will he exist after death, or everything is over at the time of death? This was Najigeta's question. So in answer to that, Yama is saying like this, that that person who was inside your body, who was actually experiencing the objects outside in the world through your senses, different senses of knowledge, when that person leaves, all these objects in the world will not give you any more happiness. Nothing you can get from there. That itself is sufficient to know that the happiness is not coming from the object, rather it's coming from the soul. Normally, most of us always think like this, isn't it? Happiness is coming from the object outside. That is called Maya. How we have fallen trapped into that, isn't it? We always think that all the happiness is coming from the world outside. But if the, remember, all Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything is taking your attention from the world to the person who is experiencing. That is the idea behind it. You see, happiness and experience cannot come from the world. We think mistakenly that it is coming from the world. This is why I'm saying this, that self-realization is so important, that self is the only truth. What is inside the soul is the only reality. And as long as we are seeing this world outside and thinking that world is giving me happiness, the external world is giving me happiness, objects are giving me happiness, or individuals are giving me happiness, it is called Brahmam. That is called Brahmam. Brahmam means the kind of illusion we are in. So, Najigedas, Yama says to Najigedas that if you understand this, he said, happiness is not coming from any object. Happiness is not coming from any person either. Happiness is coming from inside. He sees the source is inside the soul. And it is he who leaves. So, when death happens, what happens is, when death happens, that source from where everything is coming, he goes. The source where from everything is coming, he goes. And therefore, there is no more happiness in the world after that. There is no more happiness in the world. Mistakenly, so imagine how powerful this illusion is in us. That we are thinking that sense objects are giving happiness. Isn't it? Sense objects are giving us happiness. But Kathopanishad is telling us that they have nothing to do with your happiness, objects. Objects have nothing to do with your happiness. Happiness is purely coming from the soul. Nothing to do with the sense objects. So that is a kind of Brahmam or illusion, what Krishna is saying that we are under. So, when he mentioned this, so that is the thing what you are asking me, Yama says to Najigedas. It is that thing what has been doing this before inside your body. He goes leaving you like that. And then he also mentions there, Yasvapno Jagarti. That he mentioned, that Yasvapneshu Jagarti. Upanishad says that യേഷു സ്വപ്നേഷു ജാഗർത്തി കാമം കാമം പുരുഷോ നിർമ്മിമാണാം തദൈവ ശുക്രം തദ് ബ്രഹ്മ തവേമ തദൈവ അമൃതം അമൃതം ഉച്ചത. ഈവൺ വെൻ യു ആർ സ്ലീപ്പിംഗ് ഹീസ് അവേക്ക്, ഹീസ് അവേക്ക്, ഇസ്നേ ഹീസ് അവേക്ക് വെൻ യു ആർ സ്ലീപ്പിംഗ്. When you have gone to sleep, otherwise how can the dream come? Where is the dream coming from? Because he creates the dreams inside, due to his presence inside. He creates a dream. And he is pure, he is Brahman, and he is called the immortal. That means he doesn't need any rest. The rest is for the body. You thinking that, oh, I've gone to sleep. But actually what happens at the time of sleeping also? Somebody wakes up inside and start creating all these dreams. And at that time, you are not conscious that the soul is doing all these things. Soul is creating all these things, isn't it? And no one can, all the worlds are fixed on him. It is that soul who is the present, whose presence in the whole creation is keeping everything going. Ultimately, the only thing to understand here is that the attention has to be on the soul, because that is where everything is happening. Not in the world outside, isn't it? We thinking that it's in the world everything is happening. That's why we can see the ignorance among the big scientists and others. They are thinking the world is where we have to do all the exploration work. They are trying to find out where other planets are, exploring into underneath the sea and the sky and the space everywhere. But till we come to understand the space, the deep sea or other planets, everything, they all are there or not, irrespective of that, if you are not there, the soul inside, all these experiences have no meaning. So in order to shift our attention from the world towards the soul, all these things are mentioned in the Upanishads, because the sages have found out that they have already explored all these things before they got into this understanding. They realized it that the person who is experiencing is more important than the object what he is experiencing. Because if the person is not there, the objects have no meaning. It doesn't have any meaning. So that is why if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see Bhagavatam begins with that Satyam Param Dhimahi. This is that Satyam. That Satyam mentioned in the Bhagavatam is this, that who is doing all these things, that is that Satyam Param Dhimahi. Satyam Param Dhimahi. So, in our eyes, who is present inside us, in our eyes, who is witnessing everything, and in us, present in every one of us, as pure consciousness, who is experiencing everything, what is the way to know about that? That how to know that who is that person who is experiencing all this? That is why Bhagavatam says there, Sadyo hrid avaruddhadeta kridibi shushrushubhi talchanan. That as soon as you identify who is doing that, that means if a waking up, if it wakes up inside, that it is the soul that is experiencing this world. It is the soul that is creating the dream state. Every time it is the soul who is active, if we become aware of that, that is that waking up inside. That is what that verse is saying. Sadyo hridhyavarudhyade etra kridibi shushrushubhi talchanan. Immediately it wakes up inside. If you have understood that point, what Upanishads are saying. That we are always thinking that, no, otherwise if you take the verbal meaning of all those words in the Bhagavatam, you will find a lot of difficulty in that. Where is it going at the end? Sadyohriddhi avirudhi yatrabhi, it is the second verse in the Bhagavatam. There itself the subtlety has begun. Isn't it? Dharma prochita kaidavotra paramo nurmatsaranam sadam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Shrivad Bhagavate mahamunigrde kimvabare ishwere. Sadyohriddhi avirudhi yatra kridibi shushrushubi talshana. It says. So it says here, Shrivad Bhagavatam, which was compiled by Mahamuni, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Kimvabare Ishware Sadyohrid Yavaruddhi Yatra Kadavi. As soon as you start hearing about Bhagavatam, Sadyohrid Yavaruddhi Yatra Kadavi, immediately the wake up should happen inside, that the soul is the responsible for everything. The soul is the main target, target for everything. Sadyohrudya haviruddhyade yatra kritibhi. He wakes up. He wakes up. Haviruddhyade yatra kritibhi shushroshubhi talchanal. Shushroshubhi talchanal. That waking up, what happens inside at that point, it happens so sudden. All it requires is the attention from the world should go, attention should fall on him who is inside every one of us. Every one of us. It is him who has creating the world. It is him who is enjoying the world. It is through him we are experiencing the three states of Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states of existence. Everything, if you observe, this is our world basically, isn't it? What is our world? Our world is these three states: vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, and then the five senses, the mind, intelligence, and the elements. That's all. Finished. It's all limited to that only. This in different names and different forms we are enjoying and suffering through this. That's all. But ultimately, if you bring it down to a small list, it's all these things only. Five senses, mind, intelligence, and the ego, and the gross body, and also this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti states. If you combine all these things, that's our existence in this world. So once you accepted that, and Krishna is saying here, and also in the Upanishad saying here, that the what you are experiencing through your senses, it's him. What you are experiencing in your dream, it's him. It is due to his presence as all these things have come. Nothing else. Otherwise nothing is happening here. Nothing else is happening here. It's only him inside, the soul inside, who is activating all the senses, and through the mind and the gross body goes and enjoys the world. In the dream state, he keeps away from the mind and away from the gross body and the senses, and works through the mind. It's all due to his presence that everything is happening in this creation. That's why it's mentioned there, Sadyo hridya varudyade trakritibhi shushrushubhi talchanal. Talchanal, immediately this will happen. Sadyo hridya varudyade trakritibhi. He wakes up inside. That is Krishna. That waking up inside is Krishna. That waking up inside is Krishna. So because you recognize that, in the Bhagavatam you will see everything spoken in this way. That when you keep reading, you will think, oh, somebody is going to wake you up sometime. Nobody is going to wake you up. You have to wake up yourself. That's the only answer to that. Because in the end of Bhagavatam, this Satyambaram Dhimahi, that is the Satyam that is addressed to that soul who is present inside. That soul. Devotees will address it as Krishna, Jnanis will address this as the soul. In different ways he is addressed, that's all. That's the only difference. So, we'll stop there now. It's 20 past 9. We'll continue after 15 minutes. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Yama spoke to Nachiketas in that way, that what when he asked about the death, what happens at the time of death, this is how he answered. Who? Yama answered in this way. Yasvapneshu jagarti kamam kamam purusho nirmimanaha edadvaitada. That is what he is, he said. So, here, Bhagavatam says, Satyambaram Dhimahi, isn't it? Satyambaram Dhimahi, Paramasatyam. And you will notice in the Bhagavatam again at the very end of Bhagavatam, again Satyambaram Dhimahi. He says that I meditate upon that truth which is present in everyone as pure consciousness. And as a witness to Tachrudham Vimalam Vishogam Amrudham Satyam Param Dhimahi Kasmayena Vibhas Srimal Bhagavadam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyamegam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyade Yatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Saidam Nashkarmam Avishkritam Tat Shrunven Vipatan Vijarana Baro Bhaktya Vimuchyer Narahaam. Srimad Bhagavatam says that that Satyambaram Dhimahi, that was what was spoken by Krishna to Brahma, and Krishna sitting inside Brahma's heart heard Srimad Bhagavatam and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam Brahma to Narada. Sitting in Narada Maharshi's heart, he heard Bhagavatam and then spoke Srimad Bhagavatam through Narada to Vedavyas. And sitting in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart, Krishna heard Bhagavatam and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam again to his son Sukadeva Goswami. Sitting in Sukadeva Goswami's heart, Krishna heard Bhagavatam and again spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, sitting inside the heart of Sukadeva Goswami. So they were all in the realized state. They were speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. Srimad Parikshit heard from Sukadeva Goswami in that way. So Bhagavatam is saying that we should hear about that Satyam. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about that Satyam, that truth. Satyam Param Dhimahi. What is the way to know about that? The way to know about that is to hear about that. That is the process. So as soon as you hear about that, immediately Krishna will manifest inside the heart when the attention goes away from the world and to the person who is hearing. That is what that verse is saying in the Bhagavatam, that vadandidat tattvidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdyade. Vedantis calls it as Brahman, devotees calls it as Bhagavan, yogis calls it as Paramatma. Only the name is different. Only the name is different. So, but vastu is the same. It is the same thing. And it is the same thing that is present inside us. I am, inside the heart also. So, so it is that spurti. That spurti or jnapti or pratyagalma. All these are words used in the Bhagavatam in different places. So, what is inside us all time keeping us aware of our existence, all the time we are conscious of our existence or awareness of our existence, I am existing, that awareness, that bodham is what is present as the and realizing that is, when you start realizing that, that is self-realization. So that is self-realization. That means the attention has to become inward towards the soul. And when we are in distress of the, in this world, experiencing the miseries of the material world, it is at that time Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, takes a form and comes out and attracts us towards him. So that is why all incarnations of Krishna is coming from this principle, that when there is a need for a persons who are looking for truth, or they want to realize the truth, when they feel extreme difficulties in this world, it is out of causeless mercy Krishna comes in a form here and manifests in front of us and attracts us towards him. It's only due to Krishna's mercy an incarnation happens. So that is why that word descend has come, to descend from the spiritual world. That means to take that form and appear in front of us. So that is why, and that appearance is beyond time and space. Beyond time and space. Kala deshavadibhyam. Sandranandava bhodalmakam inupamidam kala deshavadibhyam. Time and space has no influence over that form, what appears in this world. So this appearance of Krishna in different forms in this world, it is called, it is, when it is worshipped in the temple, It is called Archavataram. It is called Archavataram. So, in different instances, Krishna manifests in front of us in the form of deities. So, somewhere we have to develop bhakti, either in the deity or to the form you mentioned in the Bhagavatam, or somewhere bhakti should develop. So that is why, if you look into Narada Bhakti Sutra, when we discussed, there is a statement from Narada Maharshi which says there, Anuragaha iti parasharya. Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, quoting Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sri Narada Maharshi says, Anuragaha iti parasharya. And some people, they have taste for doing deity worship. So, they are particularly interested in worshipping the deity, decorating the deity, and offering flowers and fruits and other nice preparations for the deity. And overall, their attraction is for that form. A taste has developed in that way. So, what happens to them? It is after that, when that deity worship goes on for a long time, that is when the taste develops for hearing about Krishna. Katharuji. The first step is this deity worship starts in many people's life. They get attracted to the deity worship. And from deity worship, they come to the state of, Kathashravanam, hearing about Krishna. So when you hear about Krishna, naturally there will be a rati or experience of Krishna in some form. And whenever that is experience is there, Krishna's form will manifest within the heart. It is only at that point the mind, which is constantly in turmoil, all the time moving, and somehow or the other it will start getting attached to a particular form. So, and will be able to remember that form with happiness. This is called dhyanam or meditation or anusandhanam, another word used in the Bhagavatam. Then once the anusandhanam state comes, that means if through hearing about Krishna, somehow or the other a particular form of Krishna is attracts one's heart, one's mind, and the mind starts pursuing that form or following up that form without any hindrance, then that is meditation. So whether you are walking or you are doing whatever it may be, this smriti or memory or anusandhanam will continue to happen inside. Or this meditation will happen inside. So in some particular form of Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, for example, when Krishna's different pastimes are spoken, some people may get attracted to those pastimes. And that way, that form will start manifesting inside. But afterwards, even after a form once get attracted, after a certain time, even the form will disappear from inside. Who says this? Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi. If you look into the third canto, you will see there that he says there that Muktashrayam, there is a verse there that Muktashrayam yarhi nirvishayam viraktam nirvanam rachati manas sahasa yatharchi almanamatra purusho avyavadhanam egam anvikshade pratinivarta guna pravaha. It's a very important verse. Why? Important because Kapila Maharshi is saying to Devahuti Devi about the meditation process, dhyanam process. So there is a particular form, one has come to a state that he first of all started with deity worship, for example. Deity worship has developed into hearing about Krishna. And when you start hearing about Krishna, different pastimes and different activities of Krishna, it is possible that one may develop attraction to a particular form of Krishna. And that form of Krishna, what he has got attracted to, that becomes in a state where without any effort, that form will start manifesting inside. That means throughout his day and night in his life, that form is manifesting without any effort. Without any effort. Whether he is doing some work or not, or while walking, in all these situations, this smriti or memory of that form will continue to exist. And that is called anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means that. Anusandhanam means that without any effort, it is happening continuously. So, if you get attracted to one of those forms, it doesn't matter which form it is. That is why different pastimes are spoken in the Bhagavatam. Which one will one get attracted is very difficult to say. Very difficult to say. So, but if it happens, after a while the mind will become so absorbed in that, but eventually that form also will disappear from inside. That is why saying there that muktashrayam yarhi nirvishayam viraktam nirvanam ruchati manasahasa yatharchi almanam atra purusho avyavadhanam egam anvikshade pratinivrta gunapravaham. He says here, like fire, the mind also does not want to be anymore absorbed in anything, and because of the blissful experience at that time, it stops running towards anything and it goes into its original state. At that time, upadhi or my material body, intelligence, ego, all these are upadhis. All he loses all that and he comes back to the soul at that time. His identity as the soul happens to him. That's why that verse is important. And initially the mind was dependent on that form. But after a while, when the form disappears, pure consciousness of the presence of the soul inside, or experiencing of that soul, that Atma Anubhavam or Chaitanyam, that is, will happen inside him. And that is self-realization. Therefore, bhaktiyal jnanam prajayate. Through bhakti, one comes to realize oneself, what he is. But even if after realizing one's own self, what he is, still he will continue to experience bhakti even after that. What is that? And that bhakti is called parabhakti. That bhakti is called parabhakti. If you be what the chapter we were discussing in the 11th canto, in the 19th chapter, when we spoke about that, we were mentioning last Sunday, that Krishna says about knowledge, and he mentions there that tasmat jnanena sahidam jnatva svatmanam uddhava jnana vijnana sambhanno bhajamam bhakti bhavadam. Then Krishna says to Uddhava, tasmat jnanena sahidam jnatva svatmanam uddhava. He says that after you had all these experiences in spiritual life, you will come to a state, you realize the self, and after that you will continue to serve. Your Krishna consciousness will continue to go on in that state, in the self-realized state, and that is parabhakti, bhakti after self-realization. So self-realization has to happen before parabhakti. And Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Krishna says there what's the beginning? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochadi Na Kamshadi Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhaktim Labhade Param. That means even after self-realization, Krishna says parabhakti begins at that stage. That means after self-realization, that is what he is saying here also. Tasmal jnanena sahidam jnatva svatmanam uddhava jnanam vijnana sambhanno bhajamam bhakti bhavadah. Then after Uddhava, he says, even after self-realization, after you understood who you are, knowledge of the soul has happened, then with all that knowledge, with all that realization, you give up everything and start continue your bhakti, continue the process of bhakti towards me, he says. So that bhakti, what Krishna is talking about, is after self-realization. That is not sadhana bhakti. It is the bhakti after self-realization. And that is what it is spoken here also. Muktashrayam merhi nirvishayam viraktam
നിർവാണമൃച്ഛതി മന സഹസാ യഥാർത്ഥി ആത്മാനമത്ര പുരുഷോ അവ്യവധാനമേകം അനീക്ഷതി പ്രതിനിവൃത്ത ഗുണപ്രവാഹ. സി ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് യൂസ് പ്രതിനിവൃത്ത ഗുണപ്രവാഹ. ഗുണപ്രവാഹം മീൻസ് ദ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ഫ്ലോയിങ് ത്രൂ അസ് ആൻഡ് യു ഹാവ് ഫ്രീഡ് യുവർ സെൽഫ് ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ഗുണം. ഫോർ ദ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് യു ഹാവ് ഫ്രീഡ് യുവർ സെൽഫ് പ്രതിനിവൃത്ത ഗുണപ്രവാഹ. നിവൃത്തി ഹാസ് ഹാപ്പൻ ഫ്രം ഗുണപ്രവാഹം, ഫ്രം ദി ഫ്ലോ ഓഫ് ദ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ. ആത്മാനമത്ര പുരുഷോ അവ്യവധാനമേകം അന്വീക്ഷതേ പ്രതിനിവൃത്ത ഗുണപ്രവാഹം. ദോ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ദേഹം ആൻഡ് അദർ ഉപാധി, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി, മൈൻഡ്, ഇന്റലിജൻസ്, ഈഗോ, ഓൾ ദീസ് ആർ കോൾഡ് ഉപാധി. ദാറ്റ് ഉപാധി ഹാസ് ഓൾ ഗോൺ ആൻഡ് ദെയർഫോർ ദി ഇൻഡിവിജ്വൽസ് സോൾ ഇൻ ഇറ്റ്സ് പ്യുർ ഫോം ഈസ് മാനിഫെസ്റ്റിംഗ് ഇൻസൈഡ്. ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്സ് സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഈസ് very much complete in him. There is no more identification with the body, and in that state what is experienced, it is the Bhagavata Siddhantam. Bhagavata Siddhantam is like that. So to know what is to be known through knowledge, to know what is to be known through knowledge, and then with the devotion serve Krishna, with the devotion serve Krishna. So and it is only in that state you can serve Krishna without any material desires, without any material desires. So even in that state, the self-realized soul, at that point in time, their heart is attracted by Krishna, by Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's pastimes. So that is why you notice that Sukadeva Goswami, who was a self-realized soul, in that state he got attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. He got attracted to Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why when referring to personalities like Sukadeva Goswami, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also spoke very elaborately, which is the Atmarama verse. Atmaramascha Muneyo Nargandha Abhi Urukrame Kurvandi Aidugim Bhaktim Ittam Bhudaguno Hari. So Atmaramascha Muneyo, those who are Atmaramas, Atmarama means who are situated on the Atma, who are situated on the platform of the soul. Only such great personalities whose nirgrandhavi urukrame, their granthi is all broken. That means all the ego is completely gone away from inside. All the ego has gone away, disappeared inside. Abhi urukrame kurvandi, they execute bhakti towards Krishna. Their bhakti is different than the bhakti what we are normally considering as bhakti here. Normally we consider bhakti in another way, isn't it? We execute, we say we are all devotees, we are executing bhakti. But bhakti what is referred to as a self-realized soul's bhakti is a different category altogether. Kurvandi aitukim bhaktim itam bhudaguno hari. They are attracted by the beauty of, not the physical beauty of Krishna, all the transcendental qualities of Krishna. That is what attracts them. The transcendental qualities of Krishna attracts these great souls like Sudeva Goswami and others, and that is how they took to Srimad Bhagavatam. They took to Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not purely the physical beauty that has he got attracted to, the transcendental qualities of Krishna, and that is what bhakti, what is executed by the realized souls, by the realized souls. In other words, ahankaram, the false ego has false ego has disappeared. So in order to that, to so Krishna Katha is spoken for this reason. You know, that is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Jnani Twalpaiva Me Matam. Jnani is my soul. There is no difference, Krishna says, between me and a Jnani. But Jnani is engage in the Krishna's pastimes. So, engaging in Krishna's pastimes and engaging in the realization of the soul, experiencing the soul, both are same. That for a devotee, when he says he is engaged in Krishna's pastimes, means, in the strictly speaking, it is actually absorption in the soul, in the self-realization. That's how you have to understand. Normally, when we, it is a little difficult thing to explain also. Normally, we will say, we hear about the pastimes of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam. We hear that. But
because our hearing process is not perfect, we hear through our mind and intelligence. So the influence of the mind and intelligence on our hearing process is very strong at that time. Therefore, our hearing is not perfect. Proper hearing, if it happens, what Krishna is saying is, if proper hearing happens at that stage, it is as good as Jnani's reflections on the soul, because Krishna is the soul. Hearing about Krishna means hearing about the soul. There is no difference, practically, there is no difference. But we are not hearing about Krishna in that level. We are hearing about Krishna with our mundane mind and mundane senses and intelligence inside like that. So, there is practically no difference being absorbed in one's own soul, swasvarupam, and engaged in Krishna's pastimes. There is practically no difference. They are one and the same thing. So, for example, that so here what you find in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Sudeva Goswami is giving to Parikshit this opportunity for both. Opportunity for both. Initially he begins with the pastimes of Krishna. But during the pastimes of Krishna, he is also bringing this important point of the realization of the soul. So, Charuna Charaninam, that when Mahabali's case, Vamanamurti went to beg, isn't it, from Mahabali, 3 feet of land he wanted. He was begging from Mahabali, Vamanamurti. So, that time, if you read Bhagavatam, you will see, Mahabali says to Vamanamurti, that what you are asking from me is a very small thing. Think about it again, he says to Vamanamurti. Is this what you should ask when you come to a person like Mahabali? Mahabali's ego inside. Mahabali says to Vamanamurti that when you are coming to ask something from Mahabali, you should ask something very substantial, isn't it? It's just like you go to a very rich person asking for 10 pence from him. So something like that. He says to him, is this what you mean? He says to Mahabali, says to Vamanamurti. So Vamanamurti says to him, I don't want that you ask something from me and go tomorrow you go to somebody else and ask for something from them, because that's a bad name for me. Mahabali's ego is very, very strong. Mahabali says to Vamanamurti that you are asking so little from me, and my worry is, he says, I'll give you what you are asking, no problem with that, but tomorrow you will need something else, and then you will go to somebody else and saying that I want something different now from somebody else. And that person will say, you went to Mahabali and he could not fulfill your desire. If they say like that, is that not bad for me? Mahabali is inside. Krishna is puffing him up, deliberately doing this to him, and says to him. So he says to him, please ask anything you want, because I don't like you to go and ask somebody else tomorrow something and I get a bad name that you came to me and I couldn't give you what you needed. So, and now they will say that, look, Vamanamurti is coming to our house and asking me for something, and that is not a good thing. Krishna says, that's alright, I'm not going to ask anybody anything, he says. So what happened was, when all these things happened and when Krishna came himself, Krishna did not ask anything from anybody. Krishna thought that best thing is not to ask anymore, because if you ask, people will start all this kind of, I have to put up with all these egos. So rather I'll steal directly. This is how stealing process started. Actually, in Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appearance, there is no asking anywhere for anything. Everything is directly stealing whatever he wanted. So that is why it is mentioned there that when he went to steal from the gopis, tavadhadigradamoshe ghoshayosho jananam apajadakhridirosho navagasham nashogam hridayam abhimushitva harshasindhau nyathastvam samamashamayarogan vadagehadinatham. That when he went to start stealing from the gopis, so it says here that why did you start this stealing business? Because when he went to the gopis, gopis will start saying that mama galu galigehi yachanam jatamasthal iha punarabalanam agrado naiva kurvim. Then asking from Mahabali is one thing. At least he was a great powerful king. But this ordinary women in Vrindavan, if I have to go and beg from them, that is worse, Krishna says. It's one thing begging from Mahabali. He is such a big personality. He has got everything. But now I have to beg from these people also, these gopis also. And that is the way Krishna has seen that. So he says, Iha punar abalanam agrado naiva kurve. I am not going to do that, he says. Mahabali, I have done that and that was enough for me. Not with these women. I am not going to beg from them anymore. Iha punar abalanam agrado naiva kurve. Iti vihidam ahikim devasam tyajyajnam dadhigrda maharastvam charuna choraninam. Did you make this decision? Melpatur asked this to Krishna. Did you make this decision that it is better to start stealing rather than begging, which is a better occupation, stealing than begging, he says to him. And in that process, you have created a lot of disturbances in their heart. Tava tadigrita moshe ghoshayosho jananam apachadakritirosho navagasham ashokaha. That navagasham ashokaha. But what has happened was, exactly like in the case of Mahabali. Mahabali felt afterwards handing over to Vamanamurti 3 feet of land. Mahabali felt a different person altogether. Felt great happiness from that, giving it to Vamanamurti. Isn't it? He felt great happiness. That's why he was able to reply Shukracharya in that particular way. He was able to say to him. So Mahabali felt a great happiness by offering what Vamanamurti has asked for. And not only that, in that process Vamanamurti took away everything from Mahabali, completely emptied from Vamanamurti's pocket. Mahabali's pocket, everything was taken out, and Mahabali was penniless at the end. Mahabali was penniless at the end. Similarly, when this happened with the gopis, tavadadikrdamoshe ghoshayosho jananam abhajadakhtirosho navagasham nashogaham. Anything what Krishna has done was ultimately for the benefit of Mahabali. Mahabali gained substantially from that, isn't it? Even after offering everything to Krishna, that determination in Mahabali's mind, that if Krishna comes and asks something, is it not meant to be given to Krishna? Is it meant to be kept to myself? This complete conviction in Mahabali's heart is something to be very much admired. You don't see that Atmanivedanam, that surrender in Mahabali, where else would you find in the Bhagavatam? That is why among all that great devotees in the Bhagavatam, Mahabali is very unique. Why? Because when Krishna asked us something, without any reservation, handed over everything to him. That is, and at the last minute, when Krishna measured the whole thing and took away everything from him, Mahabali says to Krishna, you have done the greatest favor to me. Mahabali says to Krishna, you have done the greatest favor to me. And that is why when you will see there, Krishna says, I want everything from you. Ultimately, I want you as well. And that is Atmanivedanam. When Krishna takes us completely in, that is called Atmanivedanam. And that is why the third feet, when they discuss that pastime, you will see with the first feet he measured all the earthly planets and the planetary systems, and second feet he measured the heavenly planets. But the third feet, where is the space, he said. It is the third feet is that taking away the false ego of Mahabali. Once the false ego is gone from inside, Mahabali in a fully realized state, he is executing his bhakti towards Krishna. So that was the greatest favor. It is that third feet what with which Krishna has taken away, that when Mahabali showed his head, Krishna put, Vamanamurti put his feet on Krishna, Mahabali's head, which means that the whole surrender has happened. That is the indication of that. So with that, Mahabali's false ego has completely gone away from inside. Similarly, here, when Krishna started stealing from the gopis, he says, abajakriti dosham na avagasham na shogaha. Normally, when things were getting stolen at home, we will get upset, isn't it? If somebody comes and steals things from home, we will get upset. But in Gopi's case, it was the other way. Na avagasham na shogaha. They have no distress at all. On the other hand, they were happy that Krishna had come to steal. Hridayam abhimushitva harsha sindhaunyathastvam. That not only he gave the, Krishna gave happiness to them, he, Krishna, completely pulled their heart along with it towards him. And that is why, tavadhati kritamoshe gosha yosha jananam. That the stealing butter which Gopi Krishna was going and doing all the time in Gopi's houses, nobody was actually unhappy about it. Although they were put into a lot of trouble. Krishna has put them in a lot of trouble. They were meant to, that was their livelihood, isn't it? They were selling this milk and butter and making a living out of it. And that is what Krishna was going there and smashing it down and taking everything. So you can imagine, normal situation, they must get upset, isn't it? It's their livelihood. They are living on the cows. Cows are their main livelihood. So looking after the cows and looking after and selling this buttermilk was their occupation. And that's all gone. And that was completely disturbed by Krishna. In spite of all that, mama abhajada kriti rosho navagasham na shoga. They have no rosham, no anger, no distress either in their heart when Krishna has done all that. Why did that happen? And that is what in the many next verses in the pastimes is all talking about, that why did that happen. Hridayam abhimushitva harsha sindhau nyathastvam. That hridayam abhimushitva, that their mind was absorbed in Krishna to such an extent, they were inside, they were happy, although externally they complained to Yashoda Devi. Externally they complained to Yashoda Devi about it, but inside they were happy, experiencing that great happiness. That is what it is mentioned here. So, so these incidents were happening in that childhood pastimes. And normally when Krishna steals, he steals the heart. He steals the heart. So I mentioned this before also. Jnanasambandar, when he was only 3 years old, in Shikari, he was going with his father, and they were very dedicated brahmanas, very dedicated people they were. So when father took the baby, he was only 3 years old, he told Jnanasambandar to sit on the steps in the temple tank, and he went to bathe in the tank. The child was thirsty. Child was hungry and thirsty, both. And while father was bathing, the child started crying for milk. Three-year-old boy, you can imagine how the child will be feeling, the hunger and the thirst, everything. Father said, don't ask for food from anybody, because they were very strict about their habits. They don't want anybody to feed you. I will finish my bathing and all my morning program is over. After that, you will be given something. The child has to tolerate that. So when the child started crying, father was bathing in the tank. Hearing, the child looked into the deity and started crying, calling Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati as father and the mother, addressing them that I am starving here, give me some milk. Parvati, Sri Parvati, out of her compassion, came there with Lord Shiva and fed with her breast, she fed Jnanasambandar. And that story in there, it says here, that's why in Saundarya Lahari, this incident between Jnanasambandar and Shiva and Parvati, even this for Tavastanyam Manye Dharanidara Kanye Hridayatha Payapara Bharam Parivahadi Saraswatamivam Dayavaptyam Dattam Dravida Shishu Rasadhya Tavayat Kavinam Proudam Ajanim Kamaniya Kavaitam. That Saundarya Lahari says about this, that attraction for that, for mother, when that baby saw and Shri Parvati came and fed that milk, got attracted to that. He says there that he became, not only he drank the breast milk, along with that, knowledge also manifested, knowledge of the self. in Jnanasambandhan. So Jnanasambandhan at the age of 3, he got self-realized. Imagine, at the age of 3, he was self-realized. Prahlada was self-realized inside the womb. Dhruva Maharaj got realized at the age of 5. This is actually the history. That before we get completely conditioned by this world, if you realize the self, you can escape very easily from here. Afterwards, it gets more difficult. So, here, Jnanasambandhan also says, his heart was stolen. Here also, Krishna steals the heart. Steals the heart of the gopis. But what normally happens is, if you do not hand over the heart to Krishna, sometimes it happens. Some devotees, they will be very matured. They would have developed spiritual life very well. They have practiced Krishna consciousness well, and they have reached a state of perfection or maturity in their life. But even though it is like that, still there is a little resistance inside to approach Krishna. So they don't know that they have come to that stage. This is a very interesting state in spiritual life. After executing spiritual life for a long period of time, sometimes people come to a stage of perfection that there is not much desire inside, and they are ready for self-realization. In other words, they're ready for self-realization. But they don't know that they are ready. They continue to exist in that state for a while. How do you know that? Because if you come to that state, normally it is in that state you have to come into contact with the realized soul or Krishna himself directly at that stage, when you reach that stage of perfection still. But because they will not leave world still and carry on doing in this world something or the other, they have come to the platform that they have freedom from the mind, body, ego, intelligence, senses. They have reached that stage. And now they are ready for spiritual realization. But due to some reason, they don't know that they are ready, and they will still like to continue with their activities in this world. When that happens, Krishna hits them very hard. That is what this stealing business is all about. What is spoken in the Bhagavatam. So, if somebody is not willing to approach Krishna at that time for self-realization, Krishna will steal his heart. So, why? Because that person, when the person is ready for self-realization, Krishna considers that person belongs to him. His heart belongs to him. It's the heart that Krishna steals. What is the butter here? We talk about stealing the butter, isn't it? Butter is nothing but it is heart of a person. So everyone's heart, which is that butter, Krishna will steal. It happens only to those devotees who have reached, due to sadhana and due to practice of spiritual life for a long period of time, after he has come to that platform, that he does not have any more desires inside. Freedom from all the desires, all attachment to this world has also gone, but he will be still floating in a state where he has not really got the association with Krishna or the great devotees. It is in that state Krishna does that to them. So that is why Sudeva Goswami is explained here. Devotees have enjoyed this stealing butter a lot in the Bhagavatam. Yashoda, Krishna is running around. Yashoda and the gopis will give butter to Krishna. And gopis will call Krishna. Married women they were. And they will say to Krishna that, you know, this turmeric and other things, the gopis which they were using that, they will ask Krishna and they will rub turmeric on Krishna's back. And they will make fun of Krishna that your color and with this turmeric doesn't match very well. In that way, they used to tease Krishna in many ways at that time. And when they rubbed this turmeric on Krishna's back, they used to say to Krishna, Krishna will demand something from them, from butter. So they'll say to him, if you show your back, we'll give you butter. And so So these activities, when that was happening, gopis will sometimes put a ball of butter into Krishna's mouth. And when Krishna gets up in the morning, he will ask for butter. If butter was not given, he will put the hand in the butter and take it away. One day, Krishna put the hand in the butter and the whole face was with the butter. And it was at that time, gopis were inquiring, a lot of butter is missing in the house. They were asked Krishna, where is the butter gone? And why did you put the hand in the butter pot? And at that time, Krishna's answer to them, this is in Vilumangalam's conversation about Krishna. Krishna says to them that my mother has put all these bangles on my head, on my hand, and because of these bangles, the hand is very hot. So in order to cool this hand, I put it in the butter pot. That was Krishna's answer to them. So then he says, so how did the butter came onto the face? The gopis asked. Krishna says, because when I put the hand in the mouth, I started scratching my face with the hand and the fly started coming, so I had to wipe the flies off. You know, by that process, the butter got spread in the mouth. Still will never tell the truth anytime to Krishna. So, to the gopis. So, this way, pastimes have started with the gopis, have started these pastimes with Krishna. And cowherd boys were running around, and one day they all came together to complain to Yashoda. All of them came together. And that is why there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which has been spoken with a very deep understanding of what will happen if you do not take Krishna shelter. Valsan munjan kujida samaye krosha sanjadaha saha steyam swadvati. That is a verse 29. Steyam swadvati adipadibaya kalpidai steya yogaihi. Markan bokshan vibhajade sajel nati bhandam vinati dravyalabhe sagraha kupito ya upakroshyatogan. Valsan munjan kujida samaye krosha sanjadaha saha steyam swadvatyada dadibaya kalpidai steya yogaihi. This one particular verse has caused a lot of questions in the devotee's heart. Because if you read the translation of that verse, it's a very cruel thing what Krishna was doing there. Krishna goes to their houses. First thing what he does is, he allow all the calf. He untie them. They are all tied in the goshala, where the cow, in their houses. They had small goshalas, every one of them had. They keep the cows, isn't it? So goes inside and then take away all the calves, he let them go free. He let them go free. And calves will go, as soon as they are given freedom, they'll run. When they run, the cows also go behind them. And they will go to the neighbor's fields and start eating very well there, all the fields, whatever they were growing. So when that happens, all those people who are living nearby, they will complain about the cows, isn't it? Because in the villages, this is a constant problem, that your cows are gone and eaten somebody else's crop. And they get very upset about you. So there will be always this issue. So when this happened, Valsan munjan kojida samaye krosha sanjadaha saham, Krishna is saying that the milk of the cow is meant for the calf, not for you. Krishna's logic. Why you are taking, that is mother's milk is meant for the baby, for the calf. Why you take this milk? This is Krishna's logic. Valsan munjan kujida samaye krosha sanjadaha saham. That all this is done asamaye. Asamaye means not in a proper time. You won't come during the day, but sometime in the early hours in the morning, when the gopis are very busy at home doing their kitchen work or cleaning the house, it is at that time Krishna goes into the house and he does all these things at that time. So asamaye, not even on a proper time he goes. Well, sanmunjan kuchid asamaye. And if Krishna gets caught, what he does is, he laughs a ridiculing way. He laughs at them. Krosha samjadaha saha. Ha 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 ha. In a way, a very, very abusive way, he laughs at the gopis. In order to agitate their mind, deliberately doing this. Steyam swadvati. So gopis were asking Krishna that why do you do like this? Your mother, if you ask her, she will give you enough. Nanda Maharaj is not poor. He has enough, many cows and enough butter, enough milk to satisfy you. It's not so difficult. You are such a small person. Will they not give you enough milk and butter? Why don't you ask Yashoda Devi for milk and butter? Krishna is saying that I've asked many times, but they don't give me enough. This is the answer. So that's why I've come here asking you, but you are also not giving me. So I've decided to steal, he says. Krosha samjadaha saha. So don't you feel ashamed to steal something like this, butter from other's house and eating like this? Krishna says, steyam swadvati. It tastes much more when it is stolen, he says. When it's sown, it doesn't have as much taste as it is stolen. Stolen butter tastes much more than when somebody gives it to you. This is the answer. He is deliberately trying to agitate, teasing the gopis in this way. Steyam swadvati. Atha dadibaya kalpidei steya yogaihim. That all the butter, yogurt, everything Krishna has been stealing like this. So all these are complaints from gopis to Yashoda. They are complaining to Yashoda. What else he does? He says, kalpidei steya yogaihi. Normally we have jnana yogam, bhakti yogam, karma yogam. Krishna starts a new yogam here called steya yogam. That's what it's mentioned there. Kalpidei steya yogaihi. The steya yogam is a new yoga system Krishna has started. Stealing business, stealing yogam. And then what else he did? Markan bhokshan vibhajadasajed nati bhandam bhinati. That markan bhokshan, not only he ate well, all the butter and the milk and drank the milk, he also lavished party for all the friends. That includes all the monkeys and all the cats, all of them. They were all fed very well. Dhrati bhandam bhinatim. That while doing that, he breaks the pots. He breaks all the pots also. And if he didn't get anything, he breaks in anger. All the pots, he breaks them. And if he didn't get anything from the house, when he leaves the home, he goes to the bedroom. And if the babies are sleeping there, he gives a very strong pinch on their bum and then walks away from there. Dravyalabe sagraha kupide ya upakroshyatogan. Dravyalabe sagraha kupide. This verse is very important. It is, if you understand what Sukadeva Goswami is telling us in that verse. Valsan munjan kujita samaye krosha sanjadaha saha steyam swadyati adadadibaya kalpide steya yogaihi. Markan bhokshan vibhajada sajel nati bandham bhinati dravyalabe sagraha kubito ya upakroshyatogan. All commentators have asked this question, why Krishna so rude to them? There must be some reason behind it, isn't it? Poor baby who hasn't done anything to you. It's just born, probably 6 months, 1 year old, sleeping very peacefully in the house. And goes and gives this, pinching the baby's bum, and while walking out, baby is crying with the pain, and Krishna is saying, you deserve that. You deserve it, he says, while going away. So this is why that verse is important. This one particular incident, they are talking about that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that, so, first logic, the milk is meant for the calf, not for the cow. So Krishna says that is against dharmam, he says. So, and goes to a house of a gopi. The gopi is about 22, 23 years old. And the gopi is standing in front of the mirror and decorating herself. So it is at that time Krishna noticed that it is the right time because gopis are so busy with the decoration. So Krishna goes into the goshala and allows the cow shed and allows the calf to disappear from there. So when the calf runs away, the Gopi has noticed that the calf is running away from the Goshala. When she saw that, she comes out. At that time, Krishna says to that Gopi, calling her, saying to her, Granny, I have left your calf away from the Goshala. And trying to make a young girl, she is only 22, 23 year old. If you call her Granny, how she will like it? So this is how Krishna was disturbing their mind. So, Krasha Sanjadaha Asaham, while running away, he is smiling. Krishna is smiling after that. So, when they run after the calf to bring the calf back, the gopi is running outside. It is at that time Krishna enters into the house. Because this pastime with the cow and the calf was done to get, take the attention away from the house. So the gopis, when the calf was let free and the cow was also let free, gopis realized the danger. So gopis running to get the cow and the calf back, and Krishna, this is the right opportunity, enters into the house. The doors are open at that time. So, and gets inside, and whatever the gopis have prepared for a week, all the butter what they have after churning the yogurt and all, they have made butter because their process is very manual, isn't it? So it takes long time to make that butter, and plenty of butter inside the house. Krishna has taken everything and swallowed it up, all the butter. How much a young boy, 4 or 5 years old, can take butter? How much butter can he eat? So many other boys who have come with him, they also had a plenty of butter to eat. Then all the monkeys and then the cats as well. So gopis are saying to Yashoda, he comes to our house, he eats well, then he throws a party to everybody. He says, then he conducts a feast as well to others, all at our cost. He doesn't do anything, he comes and steals and he does that. And he what he does is, he first distributes to the monkeys and then to the and to the cats as well. Markan, Bokshan, Vibhajasadilm. So all the cats as well as the monkeys were fed. Not only that, that's okay, he says that. Why he breaks the pots? Gopis are asking. You know, they are very attached to their pots, the gopis. Because you can see sometimes people have some attachment to some of their possessions like that. You will notice that. They feel that they're very lucky with that particular thing. You can see sometimes some very rich people, if you look into their wallet, it will be a very old wallet they'll keep. In their all their credit cards, cash, everything. The reason is that they feel that wallet has some luck associated with that. Some kind of superstition like that they have. That they feel that with that wallet they never had any problem, there was always plenty of money. Some kind of illusion like that. They keep that same wallet. Sometimes you will see some big businessmen, if you observe, look at them, the briefcase or the bag they carry will be a very old one. Some big managing director executives and all that. It's not that they feel that that was with them for a long time and some sentimental attachment has developed towards that. Similarly, our gopis also, because their main business is this butter and milk and all that, they are attached to their pots as well. The pots are important for them. They feel that as long as they had their pots, they also had a good business and their livelihood was much easier for them. So, when they brought this, when they brought this issue before them, that why did you break the pots? Why did you break the pots? What was the necessity for that? Okay, you are hungry, you took the butter and ate. And you wanted to have the feast, you gave everything to others also. But why break the pots? This was the question. So here the answer is that nati bhandam bhinati, that it was smashed into pieces. The pots were smashed into pieces. So Krishna says the butter inside was smelling bad. So already, because you kept it for so long time, that it's already started smelling. I had to break the pot as well, he says to him. So this breaking the pot is what Krishna does in all cases. In all cases. So, So, what is this pot? The great devotee's conclusion from this verse is that just like the gopis were attached to their pot, this so-called pot what we have, this material body, also has come to us. We have asked for it, we got it. Due to our karma in different bodies, different karma vasana, the result of all that is we have got this pot, this gross material body. And while in this material body, if you do not execute Krishna consciousness and simply absorb in sense gratification, what will happen is one day Krishna will get so upset with us, he will smash it down. He will smash it down. So, because if you do not know how to use this material body properly, rather simply absorbed in sense gratification, one day the body will drop. Anyway, body will drop. So, but if you get Krishna and bring Krishna into your heart, in that happiness, if you die in this world and if the body drops away, Krishna will take that butter from inside and he will eat it. What it means is that butter inside is us. Inside us, inside this body, the butter is us. The butter is what we are. It is only due to that butter this pot is making any sense, isn't it? And that butter is us, the consciousness, individual soul inside us. Individual soul is taken away by Krishna. When Krishna finds that we don't use this pot properly for the right purpose, one day what Krishna does is Krishna comes and smashes the pot. If on the other hand, if we cultivate Krishna consciousness and live a spiritual life, eventually what Krishna wants is not the pot but the butter inside. That butter is what Krishna is talking about in this verse. Sukadeva Goswami is talking about it in this verse. That means, as soon as Krishna has taken the butter away, then the business is over. Isn't it? The purpose of this body is finished. If you don't give that to happen to Krishna, if you don't cultivate Krishna consciousness in this life, what will happen? We will have to keep changing the body to put this butter somewhere else. To put this butter, store somewhere else, that means you have to accept another body. Krishna's point is, butter belongs to me. That is what Krishna has done with Mahabali also. That jiva, the false ego inside, which is the representation of the jiva form of the living entity. Once that is handed over to Krishna, that butter will not smell any more bad. Butter won't smell any more bad. Up to that time, even though it is butter, because of its mixed with false ego inside, it smells. It smells bad. Practically, what Sudeva Goswami is saying here is that till the false ego completely goes away from inside and we are fully released, freed from our material desires, Krishna does not want us. Krishna does not want us. So, that is why when it is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a pure devotee's consciousness is niravaksham, no desires inside. Munim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam anuvrajamyaham nityam puyeye tyankrirenubhi. Krishna is searching for that devotee who has no desires inside. This is that message from that verse.
Valsan munjan kochida samaye krosha sanjadahasaha steyam swadvati atadadibada kalpidei steya yogaihi makan bhokshan vibhajadasadel nati bhandam bhinati dravyalabhe sagraha kubito ya upakroshyatogan.
So that is that first part of the breaking the pot. And a devotee who has cultivated Krishna consciousness, at some point Krishna will smash that pot and take him away from this pot. The body, the butter will move away towards Krishna. Krishna wants the butter from inside. Krishna doesn't want our body. Krishna wants that consciousness, the heart inside. spirit soul inside. So gopis are saying to Krishna, gopis are complaining this to Krishna, and Yashoda says to the gopis, why do you come and complain all this to me? He is only a small little boy, 4 or 5 years old. Could he not keep the butter in a higher place where he can't reach there? Gopis are saying to Krishna, we have done all that, but didn't work. He says to him, so if he doesn't get it, it's worse, he says. If we have kept it on the floor, at least he doesn't break the pot. But if you tie it up in a, you know, like the pots one on top of the other, how the farmhouses, you will see how they keep large amount of yogurt and butter. So Krishna says that, oh, this gopi is very clever. He thinks that I will not get there. So let me teach a lesson. And what he does is, do you know, gopi is saying to, Dravyalabe sagraha gupito ya upakroshyatovan, that I have kept everything away from him, and because of that, he got upset with me. Gopi is saying to Yashoda Devi, so, we were not keeping a lot of butter in our house, but instead, going after the butter, when he saw it's kept on the higher level where he could not reach, he goes to the bedroom and he does this to the baby there. The baby hasn't done anything, he was sleeping, and he has gone and pinched the baby, he says. And the baby starts crying, and he is saying to the baby, Krishna is saying to the baby, that who told you to take birth again? This is the Krishna's answer to the baby. Who asked you to take birth again? Because in the last birth also, I gave you enough opportunity to escape. You didn't take any advantage of that. And gave me a lot of trouble. Krishna says, gave me a lot of trouble. Dravyalabe sagraha kupito ya upakroshyatogan. It is an amazing explanation to that verse. This explanation, what is that? What is that? Krishna steals the butter from the hearth, and gopis are devotees here. And this, in our own heart, that butter is there in the form of knowledge. The soul has the soul by nature is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. That is that butter inside. It is already there. And everyone has that knowledge inside him. But what we have done is, we have turned our attention instead of towards the soul, attention has gone towards the sense objects. That is our great problem. So, through knowledge, the knowledge inside has to come out by churning inside. By churning inside. That means through reflection and studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to cultivate and develop that butter of knowledge inside to come out. In order to come out. And similarly, that experience of the soul, which is what is mentioned here, if it does not happen, our mind will remain like the milk, but if you churn the milk, it won't happen, butter won't come out. It has to turn into yogurt before you churn that, isn't it? Similarly, when there is the mercy of the spiritual master, Guru Kripa, when that happened, in the association of the devotees in satsangam, if some vivekam or discrimination happens inside, at that time, that is when the milk turns into yogurt. Milk turns into yogurt. So, when they turn the milk into yogurt, what do they say? They put a few drops of... what's it called? No, what, there's a word for that, isn't it? Culture. They put that culture into that to turn that into yogurt. So, similarly, the milk is there already. The milk has to be churned inside. And churning that milk will not bring it, but the culture is necessary. And that culture is satsangam. Culture is what Krishna mentions here, that the mercy of the spiritual master. And when that happens, that discrimination, proper discrimination will happen. And when discrimination happens, that milk, what is inside, that will separate itself into form of yogurt, into the form of yogurt. And then in solitude, you have to do that churning. This is the process of Jnanamargam. That in solitude you have to do that, in isolation. After hearing about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever you have heard about Krishna and whatever Krishna has spoken, all of that should go inside and it should be churned. And after that churning, what happens is that all the gopis have done this. It may sound very interesting that gopis have done that. Udgayadinamaravindalochanam. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see that verse. How gopis were executing their spiritual life. Look into the 46th chapter. There is a verse there. Krishna says there that the 46th chapter. This is when Uddhava is saying this. Uddhava came to see Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi. And it is then that this discussion happened there. Uddhava says there at that point. Udgaya dinamaravinda lochanam. Verse number 46. In the 46th chapter. Udgaya dinamaravinda lochanam. Prajanganam divas prashadhvani. Dadhanaschanarmandhana shabdham ishrido nirasyade yenadishama mangalam. Then gopis were singing about Krishna. And while they were singing about Krishna, that the sound that has come from the churning of the yogurt, that mixed with everything, and gopis have reached a very higher state of self-realization at that time. Dadhanascham nirmandhana shabdham ishrido nirasyade yena dishama mangalam. And by the very sound of that churning, although when you read those verses, it may appear as though you are just reading some of the activities of the gopis. But Sudeva Goswami is pointing out to us through that gopis were absorbed in self-realization when they were churning the yogurt and taking the butter out. Actually, while they were physically engaged in churning the butter and taking the yogurt out, inside their heart, they were actually progressing towards the self. Realizing the self was happening at the same time inside them. You see, it is, if you read it, because we do not understand this process of self-realization. Often we think that it was just another activity. No. All these verses in the Bhagavatam, there is a spiritual side of it that we have to understand. It is that spiritual side that is more interesting. When you understand the spiritual side of it, all these verses also will make a lot of sense. Otherwise, to say that gopis were sitting there and churning the butter with churning the yogurt, it is just like any other person does that in this world. But to point out to us that this Valsan Munjan Kujita Samaye, this verse what we have spoken about now, whatever that was expected was happening in gopis' life. Krishna expects us that if we do not engage in spiritual life, we do not engage in Krishna consciousness, this pot what we have got, one day Krishna will smash it down. And you will never get an opportunity to serve Krishna again with this body. Body will go. So, quite often, you will notice that sometimes we get very sick in life, only then we turn towards Krishna consciousness. Our nature is like that. Sometimes, that Krishna has to hit us very hard. Only when we get very strongly hit, then we will wake up from our sleep. So this verse is telling us that do not wait for that situation. If in any house, anywhere, if completely sense gratification goes on without caring for Krishna, one day Krishna will hit there in one way or the other, it will happen. And then it is a bit too late to do anything about it. That is why Valsan Munjan Kuchida Samaye Krosha Sanjadaha Saha Steyam Swadhuti Adadadi Bada Kalpidai Steya Yogaihi. So sometimes what Krishna says here that they were singing, gopis were singing, gopis were chanting. Gopis were chanting at the same time. And at the same time they were experiencing Krishna inside. That is that butter that comes out from inside. When you start experiencing Krishna inside, that is the butter that is an otherwise known as jnanam, knowledge, or bhakti. In other words, whichever way you call it, address it, it is what is in the shastram. The word is anubhuti. Anubhuti means experience of Krishna inside the heart, inside the heart. When that experience comes out, inside the heart, Krishna comes, that butter that comes out, Krishna steals and steals it away. And without our knowledge, Krishna enters into the heart and Krishna releases from this material body, or this pot, what we are inside. So, but those who have got, doesn't have that butter inside, those who doesn't have the butter inside and keeping the pot, there Krishna has to engage in some strong treatment, Sometimes you can see, we ask this question, why devotees suffer in life? We always ask this question, isn't it? Sometimes some devotees suffer very heavily in life. You can see that also. They are devotees, but they are suffering very heavily in life, in their life. In life, there will be distress when you have children, grandchildren, and relatives, all they will all be in distress. When you are in distress, what is the reason? Griha kubidaha means that the Krishna is upset with the house. Krishna is upset with the house. So, in two meanings it is spoken here, that we have been given this body only for one reason. It is for self-realization. That is what this body has been given to us. So, and to experience bhakti. Every living entity in this world has only one obligation. But does everybody live in that way? No. Nobody is living in that way. As soon as he comes here, he falls into the infect of Maya and he forgets even for what purpose he had come here. Isn't it? He forgets that. And Krishna allows you to live like that for a long period of time in that forgetfulness of self-realization. He allows you to live like that for a long period of time simply in sense enjoyment. But after experiencing lot of happiness and distress in this world, if your attention is not moving towards Krishna, and if there is no, the jiva, it does not turn towards self-realization, Krishna becomes griha kupita. He gets upset with that home, with that house. That is what that verse is saying. That markan bhokshen vibhajadasasel nati bhandam binati dravyalabhe sagriha kupito ya upakroshyat ogan. That what he will do, griha kupita means that he will make your family life very miserable. Very miserable. There will be no peace at home in any way. He will create that situation at home. That is how it will happen. And then what will happen? When that happens, you will slowly start thinking, what is the meaning of this life? Only then, when the family life is very good, you won't worry about all these things. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse. Is, it means all these things in that verse. Is they are trying to, Sudeva Goswami is telling us that, okay, in a poetical language, through a pastime, Krishna, he has put it like that. Dravyalabhe sagraha kubito ya upakroshyat hogan. And this is what that pinching that baby's bum means. That for no reason he will give you trouble. You may wonder why family life is giving so much problem in family. Everything going wrong, children not listening, misunderstanding between husband and wife, and all other kinds of problems, people getting sick, financial crisis, all crises what you can think of, everything comes inside the family. One day you will get so fed up with the family life, you will leave everything and walk out from there. It will come to that stage. That is why that verse is important. Griha kupitaha. Griha kupitaha means that Krishna is upset with your house. When does he get upset? When there is no proper endeavor from your side for self-realization. That's when he gets upset. If a family, even if there is any other problems, If there is some endeavor for spiritual realization, self-realization, all the other problems will not pop up. They will all be kept under control. Other problems. You can observe this yourself in even devotee's life, and you can see this happening. You can see this happening in devotee's life. After many years in spiritual life, because this one point was forgotten, ultimately, spiritual life is not for making material life comfortable. This is, many people have this misconception. I'm living a spiritual life so that my material life goes well. That is not the goal of spiritual life. Spiritual life is this, ultimately to hand over everything to Krishna, including the body and the false ego. Has to be handed over like Mahabali did, like Ambarish did, like so many others did. If we don't keep that as the whole, but simply keep using Krishna for my material happiness in life, and all the time live that life, one day Krishna will get so upset with us that he'll come and smash the whole thing. He doesn't want this cheating business. It is artificial. It is not proper. It is not proper. What is expected? Krishna is expect from us something. If you don't hand it over, he will use the force. And that is when the devotee opens his eyes and start thinking what went wrong. When devotee told me this, so many things got upset with their life. He says, I thought devotional service is always very blissful and ecstatic. But why is it like this? So I had to be open and straight about this to him. All these years you took money from the temple and lived a comfortable life. And you are making your material life very happy with your spiritual life. So one day Krishna smashes it. Now you open your eyes and start seeing things properly. This verse is very, very important. We should not have duplicity in dealing with Krishna. If you are duplicitous, Krishna is more duplicitous than us. He will smash it. To make material life happy, you don't have to lead a spiritual life. Then you be a materialist and live a materialistic life. No, live a spiritual life. But if you take the cover of spiritual life to live a good material life, then you will get hit one day. When that will happen, very difficult to say. For a long time, Krishna will allow that to carry on. But at some point in time, Krishna will hit you very hard. That's why it says here, Dravya labhe sagraha kubito ya upakroshyatogan. That upakroshyatogan. Any house, wherever there is no genuine and desire for self-realization, Krishna consciousness, in other words, whichever language you want to use it, if there is not genuineness in there, you can expect this to happen. That is what Sudeva Goswami is saying there through this particular pastime. Only thing is, it's spoken in a way which will get people's attention. But the message is more serious. Message is more serious. So sometimes you can see Krishna, when he gets upset with you, that in order to create that vairagyam inside, that detachment from there. And this, the easiest way for Krishna to do that is to create distress in the householder life, to make the householder life very difficult. And when it happens many times, disturbances in life, you will start thinking, so otherwise we will keep on holding on to this household life, trying to sort out all the problems in the house one way or the other, thinking that, oh, if I had done like that, it would have got better this way, things would have worked out better. All kinds of ideas we start applying there. So when we will hold on to the house very strongly. But even if you are told to go and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, oh no, I got so much responsibility and duty at home. I have no time to go to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. When can I give up all these things? One day when I'm released from all this responsibility, then I will hear Bhagavatam. All these kind of excuses we'll make. So, and we will have also various excuses for not hearing Bhagavatam. We will say that if I'm not at home, there's going to be a lot of problems. It is only due to my presence here that everything is happening. So some excuses we will make, and we will avoid going to hear Bhagavatam. We will find some shelter in the house again. And this kind of people, Krishna calls it as Kudumbarama. Kudumbarama, one who is enjoying the family life to that extent. So, if it is like that, we won't lose our grip in home, at home. Vairagyam will not happen. Geharadim chinati. So, geharadim chinati. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, you will see that karnanadim, that karnanadi when it opened, that and Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's activities when it becomes serious, and geharadim chinati, that when there is proper bhakti inside, attachment to home will go. Attachment to home will go. Little by little, it will leave us. It will leave us. When you don't leave that attachment, and if you caught on holding on to that very strongly, at that time, Krishna will come and disturb that householder life. Grihastha ashramam. Griha kupitaha. At that time, he will say, I will leave everything. Now I will leave everything. But still, he will say, I got my children and I got my grandchildren. How will they leave? How I leave them? It is the so it is at that time Krishna goes and pinches the bum of the grandchild. That somewhere he wants to get that attachment off from the family life. So that happens when Sudev Goswami says here, pinching the baby means, what it means is that that he says here, basically what he's saying is that the grandchildren and children won't listen to you. And that is the best medicine to leave home. When they stop listening to you, then you know that the time has to say goodbye. That they will say one day, there is no doubt about that. And that is why we say that we everywhere parents are complaining, children are not listening. Children are not listening. We are constantly complaining about that, isn't it? They have got their life to live. We are not letting them go, and that is the problem. And if you keep on holding on back, calling back to them, one day what will happen? They will tell, through them, Krishna will tell us, now I don't need you. Through them, Krishna will tell us that, and we'll open our eyes. So, this is what happened to Dhritarashtra also. He won't leave. And everybody, Vidura told him to go. He won't go. My son, Duryodhan, such a nice boy, listens to me. Never listens anything what I tell him, but still, he is my son. So this way, this attachment builds up. And Krishna is saying that this particular verse in the Bhagavatam, so many great devotees have explained that so well, that to make us understand that if you hold on to anybody, proper knowledge of Krishna consciousness is this, that wherever you put your attachment, and wherever you put all your asakti or attachment, anywhere in this world, if it is giving you happiness, you can take it, the same object will give you distress tomorrow. That is the nature. Whether it's your children, whether it's your motor car, or whether it's something, a house, doesn't matter. Whatever you have today has given you some happiness in life. If you think that it is giving you happiness, and you have developed asakti or attachment there, that very thing will tomorrow give you distress and unhappiness as well. That is that message here in this verse. That is why wherever our asakti or attachment is there, Krishna will pull that away from you, from us. And Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi that, my dear mother, whatever object you go and get hold of, whatever it may be, material nature will pull that thing away from you. Pull that ring away from you. When you lose that object from your hand, then there will be vairagyam, detachment inside. If you want to look, you can look at that verse in the third canto, 27th chapter, verse 10. All these things are hidden in the verses. When you read translation, you won't find it. That is the way it is. That spiritual life is like that. If you look into the verse 10,
Nivrtabuddhyavastano duri bhudanya darshana upalabhyalpana almanam chakshushe varkam almadrakam. And
in that chapter, in the third canto, 27th chapter, is interesting in the sense that the there is a verse there in that same chapter, fourth verse is Artheha Vidyamanebi Samsardirna Nivartade Dhyayado Vishayanasya Swapne Anarthagamo Yada. So that particular chapter, 27th chapter, it comes in Kapilam. Kapila Maharshi's discussions with Devahuti. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti that for liberation, what should be our state of consciousness? For moksha, for liberation, what state one should be ready for liberation? What is one state at that time? That's what is discussed in that chapter, moksha siddhi. The qualifications for liberation, that is what is discussed in that chapter, the 27th chapter of the third canto. So there, Krishna started talking about Prakriti and Purusha. Shri Bhagavan Vaja, you can see there, that the nature of the Purusha and Prakriti. The same thing, what is in the Bhagavad Gita, it's not different. In so many chapters in Bhagavad Gita, Kshetram, Kshetrajnan, Para Prakriti, Abra Prakriti. And in the same way here also, Purusha and Prakriti, Krishna is talking about. So, Purusha and Prakriti, when they come into contact, creation happens. Creation happens when Purusha and Prakriti comes into contact. That we will discuss when we come to the creation process in the Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna mentions that. Purusha on his own, he doesn't create. He requires the support of Prakriti for creation. For creation, he requires the support of Prakriti. But here, Purusha's nature, Krishna is saying, avigaratval, akartrutval, nirgunatval, jala arkavad. That Purusha, although he is in the Prakriti, he comes into contact with Prakriti, due to his freedom from the modes of nature, and due to his freedom from the kartrutvam, I am the doer, and due to his freedom from the avigaram, avigaritual means, normally everything in this world goes through transformation, isn't it? For example, if you see this mic in this form today, if you leave it like this for many years, it will all disintegrate and will fall into different parts and it will go into its own elements, isn't it? So, what happens to the mic at that time is a transformation. So, at this point in time, it is in this form and it has the name as mic. Once it has disintegrated and it has gone, for example, the foam has turned into its own form, it has disintegrated, the metal has disintegrated, it has got corrosion, carbon goes in its form, iron goes in its form, everything disintegrates and it's not more mic anymore. So, akartrutvam, avigaritvam, this transformation, all those things are happening, but Purusha inside, he is in the Prakriti, Purusha is inside the Prakriti, like in our case, Purusha is inside the Prakriti. So, all these changes are happening inside the Prakriti, but nothing happens to Purusha. Nothing happens to Purusha. Why? Like the sun, when it is reflecting in the water, that is a relationship, Purusha and Prakriti. The sun is reflecting in the water. Nothing happens to the sun, even if something happens to the water. Isn't it? So, but you can see the sun in the water reflecting. You are seeing the sun in the water reflecting. But whatever happens to the water, it doesn't affect the sun in the sky. He is independent. Similarly, in the next verse, Krishna is saying, Sa esha yarhi prakrtir guneshu abhivishajyate aham kriya vimodhatma kartasmiti abhimanyate. Krishna says here that due to adhyasam, adhyasam is the word. Adhyasam means that identification with the body. Due to continuous identification, I got identified with the body and the result of aham kriya vimodhalpa. I am the doer has become strengthened in me. Aham kriya vimodhalpa. And what else? Kartasmiti abhimanyate. I am the doer has become firmly established within myself. Esha prakritihi. Prakritir guneshu abhivishajyate. Aham kriya vimodhalpa. Kartasmiti abhimanyate. I am the doer has become very firmly established in that. Now, those three, four verses is the same in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in a different way. Message is exactly the same. There is no change in the message anywhere, either it is in the Bhagavad Gita or it in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But whenever Krishna mentions that, he says, Artehi avidyamanebi samsridharna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasa swapne anarthagamo yata. Then, samsaram, although this material existence is false, false means it's temporary and it's false, we know that, but still, when you are in a dream state, when you are suffering in the dream. But when you wake up from that dream, you feel relieved. As soon as you wake up from the dream, you feel relieved, isn't it? But similarly, Krishna is saying here, although material existence is false, so long as you are experiencing this dream, daydream of this material life, a living entity who is completely absorbed in the sense gratification and also sense objects, he has to experience the miseries of material life. In other words, till we free ourselves from our desires of material existence and material enjoyment, we will never be able to come out of it. Krishna's example is that, in the dream state, when you are experiencing the dream, you are suffering. But when you wake up from the dream and come to the waking state, you are free from the miseries of the dream state. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that although you are in your waking state living in this world, but because you are completely absorbed in enjoying that dream of the waking state, till you come out of the dream of the waking state, you are also not going to escape from the miseries of material life. Miseries of material life. That means one has to be so alert all the time in life. While engaged in spiritual life, you have to be conscious of this fact that your material life also is not meant for sense gratification. It's not meant for. That's why he says, Dhyayado vishayanasa swapne anarthagamo yada. And he mentioned many things there. And it is after that he mentions there in the Bhagavadam, he says there, Nahangarasya dravyasya. That he mentions na ahangarasya dravyasya sarvabhuta samatvena nirvairayana prasangada. That if you look into verse 16, that is the end of that Krishna's Kapila Maharshi's instructions to Devahuti Devi. Out of that 16 verses which Kapila Maharshi spoke to Devahuti Devi, he mentions there at the very end, the 16th verse, Evam pratyavamrishya sa valpmanam pratipadyade sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraham. He says to him that if you look into 14, 15, 16, all that verses, the living entities, the five material elements and their subtle forms, the senses, the mind, intelligence, all of that dissolves in the night. Isn't it? In the night. When you go into the deep sleep state, what happens? You lose your body, means all the five material elements and everything gone. You lose your mind. Mind is also dissolved. Intelligence is dissolved. Ego is dissolved. Everything is dissolved. And it is at that time, it goes and dissolves where? What is known as avyaktam. In the Bhagavad Gita, the word used is avyaktam, unmanifested. That is where it dissolves. What happens in the deep sleep state is all this body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything goes and dissolves. Dissolve doesn't mean that physical dissolution. That's not what it means. In you, these things don't exist at that time. That is what dissolution means. In you, the person who is the soul inside you, you don't have a body at that time because it's dissolved in the unmanifested form. In the unmanifested thing, it has gone and dissolved. That's why you don't have a body. Just like body, the world also has dissolved at that time. is not there. The body is not there. The world is not there. The mind is not there. The ego is not there. You are freed from this upadhi at that time.
Krishna is saying here in those verses, you will see, when that happens, when all that happens, you don't feel distressed about it, do you?
When you lose your body in the deep sleep, your mind in the deep sleep, you don't feel distressed about it. You don't feel any distress about it.
So, and you don't feel distressed about it. But in the normal life, you feel distressed in the vacant state. In the vacant state, you feel distressed. In the deep sleep, you don't get distressed about anything. Isn't it?
You don't even know what goes on in this world in the deep sleep. If you think about it, you don't know anything what goes on in this creation. Whether there is floods, whether there is earthquake. No, it doesn't disturb you at all. None of those things. Because you are in the deep sleep state. And you have lost your body. Body is lying there, but you are not having any ownership of the body at that time. That's what it means. Losing the body means you are not having ownership of the body. And similarly, ownership of the mind or intelligence or ego. None of them are operating at that time. But when you are dissolved like that, and when you come back, how immediately you take up the ownership of everything. About the body, about the mind, about the intelligence, everything it comes back to you. But what Krishna says here is that when all these changes are happening, nothing happens to you. You are still there as you are. Similarly, when the false ego also disappears, you are not still destroyed. You are still there. It's a false ego that is getting destroyed. So, one should, Krishna's point there is, Sahangarasya Dravyasya Yo Avastanam Anugraha. That is the last word. Evam Pratyamrishyasa Valtmanam Pratipadyadem Sahangarasya Dravyasya Yo Avastanam Anugraha. Krishna says, Kamala Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, that one who is absorbed in this, that in Sushupti everything gets destroyed, only the soul remains as a witness of everything. So, Griha Kupitaha, we were talking about that. So, wherever the attachment is there, where we are developing that relationship, in that way, when we lose that, we develop Vairagyam, in other words. And that is a mercy from Krishna. That's a mercy from Krishna. When Krishna puts us into that situation, that he takes away everything from a person, and he breaks his attachment to that object or a person, that is Krishna's mercy. Exactly like the example given here, Nahangarasya Dravyasya. That you are taken away, is taken away from him in the deep sleep state, he loses everything, but he doesn't complain. So similarly in the waking state also, when that happens, that is what has to be understood from that. So, and these explanations of this verse is very, very important for us to notice. So, in Krishna's pastimes, there are many, many important things like that. So, we'll stop there today and we'll continue, it's 11:30. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.